upon earth. Then shall the earth yield her increase. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Let the people praise thee.
Oops, sorry, my mic was muted. Hi, welcome everybody to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, October 26, 2015. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern to midnight. If you're listening over another network or you would like to ask questions or make a comment, you can call in our number at 605-562-3140. Our participant code is 385-698. If anyone would like to email a question, they can send their questions to questions, plural, at nationallibertyalliance.org. And please support our business partners. You can find their banners on our right side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support National Liberty Alliance's effort to save America. Also, please support National Liberty Alliance by donating $5 or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right. All right, we'll start off first taking a look at God's Word. We're going to be looking at Isaiah 14 tonight, verses 1 through, I think we're going to read through 23. So 1 through 23. This, by the way, is a future event yet to happen. And let's take a look at it. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids. And they shall take them captive, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow, and from thy fear, and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon, and say, how art the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased? The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked, and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continuing stroke, he that ruled the nation in anger, is persecuted, and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth in singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no fellow is come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved for thee, to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It shall raise up from their it hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. all they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to thy grave, and the noise of thy vials, and the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? And thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as a remnant of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden underfoot. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. Prepare slaughter for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise, nor possess the land, nor fill the face or the world with their cities. For I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant and the son and nephew, saith the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the bitten and the pools of water, and I will sweep it with a broom of destruction, saith the Lord of hosts. Okay, that was Isaiah 14, chapter 14, verses 1 through 23. Okay, let's see. Tonight we're going to talk a little bit about, first of all, the king of the court. You know, there are two requirements that we, the people, have got to do and focus in order to be successful. And one is we have to raise up the king of the court. And with that, therefore, we have to bring justice. Those of us who are working to become administrators, those who will be grand jurists or trial jurists from time to time, as they are called, they will be sitting on the king's bench. And the king's bench, of course, belongs to God. That was the way our nation originally was set up. That was how England originally was set up. And they made a mistake, of course, and went for a king, just like they did in Israel. And they lost all the blessings of God. We today have the kings of the court. They're called judges. They think they rule and own us. We never gave them their kingship. We put them under the control of American jurisprudence, which is justice, and laid out from ultimately biblical principles. So we can bring justice back into the courts by administrating through principles. And that's the key thing. That's the prime thing that National Liberty Alliance is trying to teach people. Come in with a sense of honor, sense of justice, and a sense of mercy. And when we take our vows to the creator of the universe, then we rule from those positions, we will be fruitful and we can succeed. But there's no way we can bring justice back into the court without bringing the king. And the king, of course, is the governor of the universe. So those of you who a lot of people say that they're Christians, but then they never spend any time with God. So let me suggest that everybody find a place to get to know the Lord. We do have a Bible study if you don't have a place to go on a Sunday. We have a Bible study every Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here in this room. We're looking right at the king of the court right now, so I'd like to invite everyone. Anybody who is running with the leadership here at National Liberty Alliance surely should be at that study, unless they have other places that they go to on Lord's Day to get to know the king of the court. Now, another very important precept that we have to really appreciate and understand is knowledge. A lot of people, well, I wouldn't say a lot of people, but some people think that they have enough to be able to go forward and do the work that we're trying to get done, which is to become the administration for the common law grand juries. But we really need to be prepared for this. People don't know how to write these papers. They don't know how to write even a true bill. They don't, and true bills, of course, is a presentment. Or it could be an indictment, and it could be just revealing to a particular group like Congress or whatever that there is law breaking going on. They need to fix it or else. Okay, and that's called an information. And you know, we have to be very careful that as administrators, when we bring the people together and orientate them in order to take on the job of jury, whether it be trial jury or grand jury, that we don't taint them and direct them in any other way other than to bring them forward into the principles that they need to be ruling by, sense of honor, sense of justice, and a sense of mercy, and taking an oath to the creator, to the governor of the universe. Now, these people will be just general people, just people out of the phone book or whatever source of list that we might take them from. but they are qualified to make a judgment as long as they understand the principles. Again, we get 8 hours to spend with them to lay out the principles, to orientate them. People need to learn how to orientate the juries. And when a grand jury comes to a conclusion and a solution after they've been given all the information considering an indictment, that indictment needs to be written up. And I've been reading a lot of indictments from different court cases that we have coming here through us in order to take a look at to do habeas corpuses on. And we read these indictments, and it is clear that a lawyer wrote them up. And it's all statutes, violations, code violations. The people have no clue what this is all about. They just go right along. They find the people guilty of this or guilty of that. After all, they control them like a ham sandwich, and they get their indictment, and then they write up these things that the grand jury has no clue what it means. We have to be very, very careful when we get into these positions, not to just write anything up, and we have to make sure we don't add anything more than what they are saying. They're the ones that make the decision, not the administrators. And if we add anything, that would be a crime. That would be a wrongdoing. That would be tainting the jury. That'd be it would be a crime, period. Fraud. And the same thing, you know, when we orientate them, we have to be very careful and to lead them really to the principles, and not to make them biased in some way concerning a particular situation that's going to be coming up before them for them to listen to. Now, also, people need to know how to write writs. And so we're really looking to have people educated. And a lot of people, we have a lot of people who have signed up for administrators, and they have not gotten in to become educated in these areas. We have a Tuesday program every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here in this room, 1 hour, starts at 9 and ends at 10 sharp. And during that hour, right now, they're working on habeas corpuses. They're just learning the basics, the understandings of the meanings of the words, the phrases, the paragraphs, the things that bring that together, the power and the authority of the habeas corpus. But there are other writs also that the King's Bench must be able to write. So there's a lot to learn and really a lot to do. And if we're wasting our time not doing these things now, and when the time comes that we have access into the courts, now we have to go learn. And it'll be nothing but chaos if we don't learn. We must. Educate ourselves. I'll go as far as to say it would be a wrongdoing for anybody who thinks that they're going to become an administrator and bypass these processes. People have to learn court process and procedure, how things work. They have to understand how things work. And you know, look at just by putting your time into it, all these things, you know, these are not really difficult things. They may seem so in the beginning, but they really aren't. Once you sort of get the gist of it, everything sort of falls in place. But we have to be preparing. As Jefferson said, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. So if you expect to be free and remain ignorant or think that you know when you don't know, therefore you are ignorant, you're never going to achieve the goal. If we don't truly bring justice, which is synonymous, under Black's Law and other legal dictionaries, it's synonymous with virtue. Virtue comes from God. It comes from the Bible. If we do not bring justice and reestablish justice in our courts, we are going to fail. We are just going to go back to where we started from. And we will lose our liberty. We won't be blessed by God. You cannot have natural law, which is common law. Common law and natural law, I don't think some people realize this. You know, common law is what we call the law of the land. It's what the Constitution is, common law. And the Bill of Rights is common law. The Declaration of Independence was common law. The Magna Carta was common law. The Bible is common law. It is natural law. It is the law of God. And people need to realize that and understand that. You either have that or you have statutes. You have statutory law. That made up by legislators that you've elected, and then they lord over you and take control over you, just like they've done. They control every aspect of our lives. They require licenses and monies for almost everything you can think of. And they tax us to death. They take money. Even when people die, they take their money. So, you know, if we're going to take this nation back, we have to get real serious and we have to get studying. So let me say it again. Every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, from 9 to 10, we are teaching people these things. The civics course that we set up prepares you to really give you a broad understanding of common law, a broad understanding of American history, a broad understanding of how we got to where we're at. And that's the purpose of the civics course that we give. And everybody that is expecting to be working as an administrator needs to take that civics course. But they also need to take this other course. Let me say it again. Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to 10 p.m. sharp. Exactly. 1 hour. That's all it goes for. They must close down after 1 hour. Because we see some of our meetings and different things that just go on and on and on and on and on. And they're not focused. This is a focused course. And so people need to be coming to it. Now, you have to pre-sign up to get into this course, and you have to join let me go out and take a look, and I'll tell you exactly where this is. This is under the committees. I don't have a page open. Let me open up our page. Okay, go to nationallibertyalliance.org. Underneath committees, highlight committees, okay, and click on Common Law Advisory Committee. You must join that committee. There's information on this page to let you know how to join this committee, okay? There's a phone number up there to get a hold of the director and information. So you must join this committee. And when you join this committee, this whole committee really is around education. That's what this is really all about. So everybody needs to be doing that if you're planning on doing administration. We're going to block people from coming in to taking on these jobs if they're not going to go through these courses. It's a wrongdoing to allow people to come into these positions and not be able to do the work that those positions require. You're going to have to go talk to a lawyer, a bar lawyer, to try to figure out what to do, right, get the right papers, what you have to do to get an indictment going and to write the papers up. And so everybody needs to learn. Now, what we'd like to do, and right now we'll always have national advisors, but we need to really get state advisors. We need to train people who at some point in time are able to give advice to other people in their state. We at bare minimum, one or two in each state, but I'd like to get quite a few of them. And we need people who can become experts in these areas, people who are serious and willing to put a lot of time and into becoming educated here and understanding the process, understanding how things work, be able to answer questions and assist people that are working in the county level. They will need this help until and at some point, a lot of this stuff will become old hat to everybody, you know, especially the people in the county areas. But there'll always be something new that'll come up here or there, and you'll need to get some advice and maybe how to fill out a form or how to create something to write it up. And of course, if the state advisors can't answer the problems, then we work to the national end. And if the national end doesn't have the answer, we will research it out and find it. And, you know, people need to learn how to research. They need to learn to do these things. And it all starts, first off, with taking the civics course and then getting connected with the Common Law Advisory Committee and getting involved in a course that's really going to teach these nuts and bolts parts of working the process and the procedure and writing the papers and all these things. So, again, now the other thing, if you don't have a place to learn about the King, Sunday, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here in this room. We're doing right now the Harmony of the Four Gospels. So we're meeting the King, and I think we've got four or five studies already done. We're still early on. I mean, you know, so it's going to be a good, long, in-depth study on the King of the Court. But anybody who would like to catch up, then go and listen to the audios. I believe it's on. Let's see where it's on. Oh, okay. Yeah, you can click on join our Sunday morning Bible. Let's see. What does it say here? On the right-hand side, you'll see a Bible, and it says, join our Sunday morning Bible study. And on that page gives the information, you know, to call in to get into this room and what time, which is 11 o'clock on Sundays. And right on the bottom of the page, you will see there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 studies we've done. Now, we keep these studies down to 1 hour. We start at 11 o'clock and we end at 12. We usually go for 15 minutes to half hour, whatever it takes for sort of an open forum. People have questions or comments, and then it's over. So we're trying to keep these meetings relatively short. The only ones that will continue long, the only one meeting that will continue long, like 3 hours, that's this meeting we have every Monday, because we always have a lot to talk about and to share things, and this is an extremely important meeting. But I'd like to say that you have three meetings a week that are extremely important. Meeting the King of the Court, learning how the processes of law works and the writing, the papers, and all that stuff. And then, of course, the Monday night meeting, which is organizing, communicating, and also sharing a lot of paperwork. And even the papers that we've written, they're an education. You could take these things out of these papers and use them on writs, use them in papers that you might even use for your own personal case or something. That's about all I have to talk about tonight. We are working on a lot of habeas corpuses. Things are going slowly but surely. And we have about 6 cases out there that we need to be following up on, and we now have had the time, and we've written quite a bit of work. We've got a lot of stuff written up to go to the next step. And as we go to these next steps, we'll talk about it. One of the first steps we're going to after we hand in a habeas corpus and we don't get a response, well, we realize that when you go back and look at the default, for any kind of a default, it requires an affidavit. But a habeas corpus coming from the grand jury shouldn't require an affidavit because it comes with a decision and a seal. But nevertheless, this is a game I think they're playing in order to try to, you know, claim that they're not liable, you know, hey, there was no default filed. The law says, you know, that's their law anyway. It says you got to file the default. So we started that process of filing the default through what's called an affidavit of default by either the next friend or the person that whose case it is, that's the petitioner. And so we started that process of all the cases. And then we also found the next process to go for those who don't respond to that, which really is finding them in contempt of court. We give them the opportunity at that point, when we find them in contempt of court, we give them the opportunity to amend. The next step after that is we then go through finding them in contempt of court finally and fining them. Now, I don't know that we would try to give them time in jail. You know, often contempt of court, you know, a couple of days in jail, a week or a month or something like that. I don't think we're going to go that route, at least not at this point. But the threat of indictment will definitely go along with that fining. And if they still thumb their nose at us and still don't follow through to do the right thing, then we're going to go through an indictment. Now, we haven't yet filed an indictment on the federal level yet. We have indicted a judge and a few other people, which we still have not done the paperwork on, only because I don't think we're ready to make that filing. But I think it's very, very close. I think we're within weeks of filing those papers. I do believe, from all that I've seen and all that I've heard and all that I've read, that generally the federal court judges fear us. They know we have something. They know, ultimately, I think they've been educated a lot more than we realize concerning some things of common law. And they know some history. I remember Thornton talking about federal court judges are ferocious readers. They love to read, especially the appellate courts. But if that's true, then they're educating themselves, and they're reading all kinds of different things. And they actually are reading things out of Black's Law. You know, a lot of papers we write, we get a lot of our information out of Black's Law. It's a great book. The problems people have what Black's Law is, it covers all of the different courts. So, you know, we're concerned only with the common law process. But it does talk about the process for chancery and other courts. But chancery courts and other courts are not permitted in our nation. We are under the law of the land. The law of the land is clear, this Constitution. That's the law of the land, and we're under common law. So we have to really learn these things, and we have to start reading ourselves. But I think a lot of these judges really have quite a bit more knowledge than we realize concerning common law. And I think they fear some of the processes we're doing. They know that the King's Bench has every right in the world to write writs, for that's where the writ writing emanated from, the King's Bench. So that's what we the people are. We the people are coming from the position of the King's Bench. That's what grand jurists are. That's what trial jurists are. They're on the King's Bench. They represent the King. And they're supposed to be bringing justice, which is virtue, into the courthouse. So these are the things. They realize this, and I think that's why they fear us. That's why we had to have some success in a few areas, not as great as we'd like. But I'll tell you what, they're getting away with it for a couple of reasons. Number one, they think we don't know what to do next, because we haven't done anything next on some of these things. Number two, they're trying to keep a piece of the pie and then yet appease us, thinking, well, we'll feel that's okay. At least they gave us half the game. Well, that's not good enough for us either. And we're going to come out after them for that. And number three, the fact that their law, their statutes say that there must be an affidavit of default to be filed with the default, well, we're doing that right now. And that, I think, closes the whole thing up on them, and I don't think they have any way to move. And we're going to see how that's going to go. But it's all about a pressure game, too. The fact that we are nationwide, the fact that we are in every state, the fact that we do have thousands of members and are growing, those are the things. Now, we're going to start to get a lot more active, in phone calling, maybe even letter writing or something, but phone calling particularly. I think the strongest thing is phone calling. And once we start working on some of these cases where we have to start to put the pressure on people, we also have some lawyers who think that they're God or something. I don't know. They've written those letters, and we haven't really responded to them yet, but we're getting ready, and we're going to be doing that shortly, too. And we're going to find these people in contempt of court also. We're going to start to put the pressure on them, too. But it's got to be the wrath of the people coming together unified as one, and that's what we are here under the unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. So we need to go forward with this in one accord. And we need to, as we start to move these cases, we're going to start to send alerts out. And we're going to start to say, call this judge here, and we'll give them some ideas of what people need to be talking about. It's all going to be ultimately about him obeying the law. We're watching. Some people may even want to mention, you know, hey, I'm on the grand jury, and I'm very concerned with what's going on, and we're expecting you to obey the law. And the fact that it's coming from all over the nation, because we unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, you know, the last grand jury meeting we had, we had about 250 people. We usually get quite a few people that come to that particular meeting. We do have a lot of members that are active, and we got to get the phone calling going. So we're going to be getting that going soon. Also, we have people that are going to court that need help, and I don't know if any alerts have gone out. There is a couple of cases that people need to be try to get involved with. I'm going to look for some information on a case for tomorrow. If anybody's over in Western New York area, maybe they can go down to the court. And I'll try to get that address out shortly. I have to look for that. I have to go through a file to get that. Again, we have to get active. We have to let our voices be heard. We got to get on the phones. We have to learn to write. We have to learn the processes and the procedures of the court. We have to learn the common law better. We have to learn the writs. And of course, we have to be taking the civics course. And we have to know the king of the court. Okay, with that, let's move on. I don't know if anybody has anything to announce. We've got Paul that's going to make an announcement concerning gold and silver again. Let me see if I can find Paul. Gary, see if you can find Paul out there. He's coming. He's calling in from Long Island. I'm trying to think what area code that would be. His name should probably be on. Let me open up the Q&A. Nobody come in except for Paul. Paul, Island. Click star 6, Paul. Star 6. While we're waiting for Paul, okay, 631, I see him. I'm going to unmute him in a second now. Gary, do you have anything? Do we have any questions or anything? Or anybody else?
No, we don't.
The other host?
We don't have any questions. Okay.
Yeah, I have an announcement, if you got a minute.
Go right ahead.
This is concerning the weekly newsletter, the NLA newsletter. I've been requesting inputs for the new weekly newsletter at the District 1 to 4 Wednesday night call-ins without much of any response each week. So I will be contacting each committee director tomorrow with the following request. This is all committee directors. Please send me a brief article on your committee. The suggested areas of interest might be a brief statement of its purpose, recent progress, trials, tribulations, areas where you need help, special manpower or skills needed. Maybe you need some particular information from NLA members, something you're happy about, or maybe the one thing you are most happy about, or some recent accomplishments. We hope we have a lot of them. General interest items. Just send them to Jan at nationallibertyalliance.org. And the same is true for district coordinators. I'll also be contacting you. And this is another chance to get requests out for help in any particular area or general communications on projects that you're working on with any special skills or manpower needs that you may have. Anything that you feel is important to pass along to everyone, just send it along to me. That's jan@nationallibertyalliance.org. Now, also, individuals, we don't want to make you feel like you're left out. So if you have something you think would be pertinent to NLA, please just email it to me. Now, please be brief in your writing. We're trying to keep this newsletter short so people can read it easily. And we hope to hear from a number of committees and district coordinators and individuals each week, so be brief. Now, there may be pertinent videos, things like that, that you've watched during the week that you think would be educational for NLA members. Send the information along, and I'll add it to the newsletter. Now, I need these announcements and articles by Friday noon or earlier so I can get it out by Friday evening. Anybody that has stragglers, the information will be relegated to the next weekly issue. So if it's time sensitive, get it to me by Friday noon. Now, John has even promised to send me the topic for the following Monday night call-in to add to the newsletter so you can get a sneak preview of what's coming up for the next week. And that's all I had to say.
All right. John, thank you, John.
Robert,
you might want to give me a call tomorrow sometime, and maybe we could try to get a few leaders on. We could talk a little bit about some ideas with this, but okay?
Okay, that'd be great.
Thank you. Okay, someone else was trying to talk?
Yeah, this is Robert.
How you doing, Robert?
Now, I've contacted the district coordinators, and I've contacted the state coordinators, and I've asked for the names of our welcome committee members. Jan, of course, has answered me, and Ron, of course, has answered me, but none of the other district coordinators have. I need those names. The state coordinators, I need those names of the welcome committee members. Now, a couple of individuals have contacted me, but not getting any cooperation out of people. We need to get on this. We're making we're revamping the welcome committee. It's going to be one of the most important committees that we have. It's going to affect all the other committees. It's going to enhance all the other committees. I need your cooperation out there, district coordinators and state coordinators.
Okay, you want to tell people how to get to you?
They can call me on my Skype number is 503-608-4979. That's 503-608-4979. Or robert@nationallibertyalliance.org.
Okay, thank you, Robert. Okay, do we have anyone else before we go to Paul? Okay, let's take Paul. Paul, you should have the mic. Go right ahead. I think you've been unmuted. Can you talk?
Yes, am I there?
You're there. Paul,
okay,
you're here.
Hi. Good evening, everybody. I just wanted to speak a little about economics, of course. That's my thing. There's going to be zero growth in our economy throughout the remaining part of this year. That's the general consensus. In my opinion, it does not look like there is going to be a rate hike from the feds either, although I think we desperately need one. They just can't do it. The global economy and our economy are just so weak, it would be the nail in the coffin. Which is kind of why I think they should do it. You know, let's get it over with, because I think it has to happen. I spoke a month or two ago, and I spoke about how the banks were quietly buying silver by the millions of ounces, and they had bought 7 million ounces. Well, guess what? It's up to 21 million ounces they have bought. This is all public record stuff, so it's all verifiable. 21 million ounces of silver. What the heck are they up to, huh, you wonder? Why do they want that much silver? Well, you know there's got to be a good reason. Remember, with silver, you can still buy a lot of silver with a relatively small amount of money. And relatively speaking, gold is very low. And don't think you're priced out of owning gold just because it's closed at $11.66 an ounce today. Silver closed at $15.90. They make many little small gold coins that make it more affordable to purchase some. And I advocate, of course, like I always do, doing this now while prices are low, doing it now when the rest of the world's not doing it out of fear and necessity. You know, just like the squirrels getting ready for the winter. You know, start burying your nuts now. And when it seems the coldest and most barren is when you will need it the most. And I firmly believe everybody should have some. The upside of silver is tremendous if you're an investor, but I think the necessity of having these hard assets, having real money in real money form, is a reality that's going to hit us hard down the road. I've had a lot of NLA people call me, and they were sharing with me, you know, that they thought the markets were going to collapse within weeks and so forth, and they were tying it all into the introduction of the new reserve currency to the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, the main players behind it being Russia, China, and Brazil. You know, as far as reserve currency goes, I was telling them I couldn't find any correlation between that and why it would cause our economy to collapse. There was no reason for it. This was the international stage and reserve currency. What's more profound about it, though, that I don't think people are realizing, is what it signals is that the rest of the world, the power players, the other countries, their perception of our currency is not what it used to be. The perception of this country, obviously, as all of us know, is not what it used to be. The U.S. dollar is losing its status as the reserve currency. The U.S. dollar is no longer number one. The cat is out of the bag. They know that the debt is tremendous. They know it's unsustainable. They know we just keep adding to it and trying to refinance it. But why all of this is important is that as our currency falls out of favor, our ability to borrow money is affected. By borrowing money, I mean, you know, selling treasuries the way, and bonds and bills the way we raise money. Okay? We will have to pay higher rates of return. We will have to pay higher interest rates to borrow money, because we are becoming, just like in the real world, just like an individual, if you become a higher risk, your credit score goes lower, you have to pay more for money. That's what's going to happen to us. That's inevitable. And that's when you're going to have a dramatic effect on the value of the dollar. That's when you're going to have a dramatic effect in how real money, gold and silver and hard assets are going to be the best to have in the worst of times. That's how the metals react to currency destabilization. And of course, it's frightening, and none of us thought we'd live to see any of this, but, you know, as I said, the party's over. And just, you know, we just keep putting more and more and more and more and more people on the government payroll in one way or another, and there's nothing coming in. You know, again, it reminds me of my son's freshman year at college with his first credit card and his first checkbook. okay? You know, it was like, I must have more money. I have more checks left, you know? That's how we're behaving. And, you know, again, it's just inevitable. It's down the road. I want everybody to be prepared for it. I purchased an extremely large private estate loaded with silver and gold. Lots of bags, $1,000 face value bags of pre-1965 silver. I have a certain amount of it that I'm not putting into my retail inventory so that I can sell it specifically to NLA people and sell them well under market and do the right thing. So as long as it lasts, if you're a person who keeps up on other people's prices, you'll recognize the prices to be extremely low, okay? I'm pricing it to move it, and I'm pricing it so people are motivated to buy it, okay? And again, as always, regardless of dollar amounts. There's also, for those of you who may have any interest in collecting, I have a substantial number of some of our earliest silver dollars ever made in this country and colonial coinage before we were a country. Some of it's very famous stuff, very collectible. The early coinage of this country tells the history of this country. I happen to find it extremely fascinating. I've studied it my whole life. All the way back to the famous pine tree shilling from Massachusetts colony, which had MYOB stamped on the back of the coin. These were coins that were first introduced for trade with England when we were still colonies. MYOB stood for Mind Your Own Business, that fierce independent spirit that we used to have, which we've got to get back, of course. Okay? So I have coins like that available, too, for those people who are interested. If you want, just give me a call, and I'll educate you about them. Okay? And for the rest of you, just give me a call, and whatever you can do, especially with the inventory I have now, I can take exceptional care of our members, okay? And I appreciate everybody's time tonight. All right? Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Paul. And you can find Paul's phone number on our right-hand side of our website. It's East End Rare Coins, and his phone number is there. And also you can click on that, get a little information, and then get a connection directly to Paul. okay, let me clear the... What I'm going to ask for now is the people who come into the queue or anybody... Well, first of all, we're looking for new people, anybody that's never been, you know, at our meetings here on Monday nights and has a question or a comment. I'm going to ask those people first to get into the queue. Also, we'd like to take people who have never asked a question into the queue. So anybody that would like to ask a question that's never asked a question or they're new into the queue right now. Then we'd like to take people who maybe haven't spoken for quite some time, maybe have been on the list and didn't get a chance to talk over the past weeks or something, and would like to get into the queue. Those people should get into the queue now also. So let's give them a couple of minutes for people who have been trying to speak and haven't been able to, people who are new or people who have never spoken first, and a few more seconds, and then anybody can get into the queue. Let's take our first caller, and already. Anybody can get into the queue now. Let's take our first caller. It's Neva, N-E-V-A, I think it is, from Pennsylvania. Neva, are you there?
Price for you people first.
Maybe I didn't get it. Let me try it again. Neva, try talking from Pennsylvania. Let me try hitting the next. Okay, now try, Neva. You should be able
okay.
to now. You should have heard.
Go
right ahead.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. Now, I think I'll start this by saying, John, you know, you always say that words have meaning at law, right? When you go into a courtroom.
Well, words have meaning, period, but yes, absolutely.
Yes. At law, though, they're very important. You have to be very careful what you use for words when you go into courtroom, right?
To some degree, yes, that's true. But we're not going to yield the language, the English language, over to these people who have really bastardized our English language and have taken control and ownership of words. Our founding
right,
fathers,
John,
for instance,
but, you know, these guys are all about deceit. Okay, so
well, absolutely.
We have
but
to
let
be
me
very
just, let
careful.
Me just finish
but
it
I got to tell you that I had something happen to me today. At 6 o'clock tonight, I got a call from Senator Yaw's office, and they were having a roundtable. And, you know, he was speaking, and people were asking him questions from the Bradford County. And there was a guy that came on and was talking about marijuana. And what they were doing was really bad because people needed it. They had cancer, and it was a cure for cancer and all kinds of diseases and all that kind of stuff. And, y'all, he went on with a lot of garbage. But, you know, he said something very interesting. He said, if we could change the word of it, maybe we could do something. Then he went off on a, you know, on another tangent. So, he probably thought to himself, oh, man, I'm saying too much here. I can't say that. So I got into the queue, and, of course, you can't get on these meetings unless you tell them what you want to say. And I said, well, you know, this lady asked me what my question was, and I said, I don't really have a question, but I would like to educate some of the people here. I says, marijuana is a word that came out of Mexico, and it has nothing to do with cannabis. It is really cannabis, and they changed the word on purpose so they could regulate it. So I said...
Well, Founding Fathers, I believe, called it hemp.
Yes, right.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's cannabis. So I was thinking we ought to write a letter or a paper on cannabis. But it just brought home to me the importance of words at law.
Well, it is true. Words have meanings and they have power. You know, the things of, for instance, trying to get certain drugs or marijuana or pot, whatever you want to call it, legalized. We won't have to worry about that. And, you know, what we really have to concern ourselves is getting our liberty back. You're getting Congress
That's
under
right.
control,
you know,
getting
I would,
the administration
I know, we
under
know
control,
that.
getting also the judicial processes under control. And once we do that and the people come into the courtroom, you know, first off, statutes, for instance, that would make these things illegal. You can't control people with codes and statutes. That's not lawful in America. We're under common law. We never gave them the authority to control our behavior. So we, the people, have got to learn to control our only behavior. And this is one of the reasons why, I believe it was Benjamin Franklin, said that only a godly people will really be able to receive and succeed at this kind of a government that we have put up. And that's why we need to get to know the king of the court, and that's why we have to teach our children morals. We have to bring morality. We have to bring the Bible ultimately back into the schoolroom again. But we definitely got to bring God back in. We got to bring civics back in. We got to teach our children the things that we ourselves first need to learn, and that's what we're trying to teach, the things of these things here at National Liberty Alliance. We want to bring these into the schoolroom, into the classroom, and not just in high school or college, but in grammar school. As a matter of fact, with a true education, a Jeffersonian education, a real true education, which would be a classical education, there'd be no need for any more than 8 years of school. And that's it. High school is not a necessity. The next after that would be a higher school, which really would be if you're looking to become, you know, a doctor or an engineer or something of that nature, where you need that higher education, whatever that might be. that should be available. But 8 years should be sufficient, and your 8 years should be able to easily bring you well beyond the high school level and ultimately beyond the college level. I know of some really good private schools that are very, very focused, and the kids that come out after 8 years of that is like they've graduated college. I mean, they really get an education. The schools that we have really watered down their education. They don't teach children how to think. They teach children to do the things that they want them to do, to be obedient in the ways that they want them to be, to be good, really puppets or slaves might be a better word for this. And that's what we're really training our children in school. We got to get away from that education and bring it back to the public, bring it back to the people, bring it back to the local people within the neighborhoods to get together to decide what kind of an education they want their children to have. Let them choose the books and the curriculum. Let them decide. But the bottom line is we have to train our children in civics. We have to train our children in principles. We have to teach them morals. And as the Bible promises, this is a promise. This isn't just a statement. It's a promise. Raise up a child on how they should walk, and when they get older, they will not depart from it. So raise them up how to be morally minded, good people, that help and care for other people and get them educated. That's what we need to do. Anything else? Well, I don't want to say anything else, but do you have a final statement, Neva?
I agree with all that, you know, but like I say, words at law mean something, and we have to pay attention to what we're doing, especially if we're going to write all these papers. That's what brought it home to me.
Well, that's correct. All right, thank you, Neva.
Okay.
All right, we'll take our next caller, Don. How are you doing, Don? And let me just a final statement on that. You know, it is very important we be careful with the words that we do use in our court cases and our paperwork and so on and so forth, but only to a degree. We want to be careful not to give them any validity by being so careful with our language that we're actually giving them reality. We're making the fiction reality. We're giving them credibility. We're giving them authority. We're giving them a power. We have to take it away from them. We have to ignore them and really focus in on jurisdiction and due process, because those are the two things. When you put them under the microscope to see if people are getting the proper jurisdiction and if they're really getting due process, you will find that they fail. And that makes them a defunct court, and we need to deal with them that way. Don, go ahead, from Alabama.
Yeah, this is State Administrator Donald. How you
doing,
John?
Don.
I'm doing good. Just want to give Robert Bristow a shout-out. Stanley Howard is my welcoming committee in Alabama. I don't know if he had updated it. I did have another welcoming committee member, but he stepped down, and Stanley Howard is the Alabama welcoming committee.
Okay. Thank you, Don.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Next caller. Let's see. Donald from Florida. Go right ahead, Donald from Florida.
John, how you doing? Donald down here in Florida. Listen, over the past 5, maybe 6 weeks, I've taken many calls from people that I've encouraged to join NLA. That, you know, I call them and I say, hey, you know, what about the meeting, blah, blah, blah. And they're basically telling me that they've been dropped off of our email contact list. Like, they don't get our Monday night notifications or other notifications in groups or committees that they may have been in. So I wanted to just give you a heads up that there may be some sort of a fallout in our email contact. Now, I had told them that you had mentioned previously that we had maxed out on the ability of our servers to contact people, and maybe it fell through. But I wonder if you could update us on that.
Yeah, you know what I think I'm going to do is I have some software that I use to send out email, mass emails. I can send out thousands of email. The only thing is it takes time because, you know, it goes through sending them out, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It doesn't send them out, and sometimes it moves slower than that. but it doesn't send them out, you know, like all in one blast. And I might do is on the weekly mailing, I might set up that mailer, and when Jan gets the letter together, and then we will then maybe mail it out from there. That might be a solution. So, and we should get it out to everybody at that point. We'll look into further, check it in to see if there's something with some of our mail dropping. I do have to say that I have not been sending out any weekly reminders for a while, at least a month now, just that we were putting together this other weekly mailer, and I guess it sort of just fell along the wayside. We kind of lost the ball on that one. But I see Jan picked it up, and it should start going out this week. So let's see how this one works this week, because if we only send one email a week out, that reduces the usage. I mean, there'll be other email, you know, because, you know, state leaders have the ability to send out some email, and I don't think they send out all that much. But if they send something out once a week, that's what we'll tell them to do. It'll kind of cut down on our email. There are other group leaders that are able to send out email. But remember, when they send out email, they're only isolating it to the number of people, for instance, a state. If a state has 300 or 400 members in it, then that's all the emails that are going out. It's not like it's sending out 5,000. The same thing with the smaller groups. If a smaller group is sending something out, maybe it's going out to 60 people or 40 people or 50 people. It's not sending out 5,000. So that doesn't really use up as much, you know, I guess, broadband or whatever it is that's involved with the email, the server usage or whatever it's called. But if we can't get a good, solid, you know, going out, confirmation on emails going out, maybe we'll try using a server that I have on my computer, as I mentioned, and then we'll do it that way. Well, we're going to look into
right.
that. Okay?
Well, that's great. I just wanted to, yeah, okay, that's good. Specifically here in Florida, I can say that going back quite a while, there's been some people that get emails, notifications of our Florida meetings, and then we don't get any at all, and then some get some, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, if you could address that issue, because, you know, we do a lot of work to try and get people to become part of NLA and attend the meetings. And then, you know, when I try to follow up with them, you know, and have a conversation about the meetings, and then they have, you know, well, I didn't get a notice, you know. But anyway, yeah, if we can get on that, that would be awesome.
Yeah, and sometimes it goes into people's spam, too, so we tell them to check their spam box, you know.
Yeah, we're on that, too, sure.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Okay, we're going to work on that problem. Gary, maybe you and I can discuss a plan on me sending this out through my server. And, you know, I got a few ideas on how we may be able to break this up so that we can get them out rather quickly. So, Gary, if you remember that, let's talk about that this week. Okay, let me take our next caller. Thanks, Don.
Yeah.
Okay, our next caller, Brad from Pennsylvania.
Hey, John, it's Brad from Pennsylvania.
How you doing, Brad?
I'm doing very well. I wrote down my questions. First of all, I get your weekly, so there's no problem here in Pennsylvania as far as me. Next week, you were talking about filling out the vow and then sending it to an address. Okay, well, I looked at the vow, and I don't see an address on it. And I looked at the web page. I noticed there's a point of contact. I believe it's Don. I guess I got to call him to get the address.
Well, no, I don't know why it's not there. Let me make a note. Where on the site are you getting this?
Right where you took us, committees, committee, right where you took us in the beginning of the program.
Okay, right in there. Okay, so I'll check on that and I'll make sure an address goes there. But to find the address, you can go to the donation page, and it's NLA, National Liberty Alliance, has only one address. And it's National Liberty Alliance in Hyde Park, New York. You'll see it on the donation page.
Okay, I'm a little confused. So the original that I'm mailing is going directly to you? It's not going to Don? It says somebody's going to secure the originals, and then you get emailed.
Well, yeah, they've been coming to me. I don't know if they've been going anywhere else, but they've been coming to me, and I've been collecting them and filing them. So, just click on our Donate Now page, and that's where they should be going to.
Okay.
Okay. And any of the leaders or anyone that has been getting them, they should just go to that page, the donate page, and put them into an envelope and just mail them to me. I got them all in a file, and we're working. We have a secretary, as I think everybody knows right now, Linda, and she's taken a lot of work over that I was doing, and it's really freeing me up to do a lot of other things that I really should be doing. And one of the things eventually I'm going to do is I'm probably going to feed them into my scanner. I might take it down to Staples to do it because there's quite a few of them, and they have a stick to it at great speed, and probably do hundreds at a time.
If I send a scanned form of it, is that better, or do you want a hard copy?
Well, no. Send a hard copy. We'd like to get a hard copy on file, but I want to scan them for the purpose of sending them out electronically to Linda so that she can use that and formulate a list.
Okay. Okay. Next question.
Yeah.
I heard Gary on here before. He was talking about his Skype got hacked. Is there a lot of hacking going on the site right now? Is there a lot of security issues, so to speak?
No, not that I'm aware of. Gary did a stupid thing. Gary confessed to doing something stupid, and I forget what it was, but maybe if he wants to talk a little bit about it, he can just open his mic and talk.
The only reason I'm asking is if you are getting hacked a lot, that's actually a good thing because, they're going to send the jackals, man. You know that.
Well, I personally don't open anything up from anyone I don't know, and even for people I do know to some degree. Most of the things that I take, I don't open anything out of my email to begin with, other than just the email itself. But, if I even get something on Skype, okay, I tell everybody, don't send me nothing because I'm not going to open it. You have to give me a call and let's talk, and then you put it into the Skype, and then I'll take the file. Now I know I'm okay, at least to some degree, unless they've got viruses. But I've got a lot of programs myself, but we all have to be very, very careful of what we're opening and what we're doing. And apparently there's some vulnerability on Skype with opening something, and I think that's what Gary did.
We just need to operate in that mindset, I should say, at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't think that we're being listened to or that we're not being tracked or anything like that, you need to pull your head out of the sand and get a grip here. Because once you start rattling these cages, I mean, we're talking about, what is our national, debt? We're talking trillions of dollars, do you understand? To take down the big cabal like that, the beautiful thing is you have a lot of members, and everybody needs to be trained, just like you said, to do somebody else's job because, they'll take you out. There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely. And we do have a large membership. We do have a large membership, which is protection to begin with, number one. But our membership is just a piece of people who are paying attention because we have lots of people, thousands and thousands of people every month that click our website and have not become members. So they're, maybe for whatever reason, okay, but they're aware of us and they know what we're doing and they're watching.
Here's another thing, John. I mean, you and Gary and all the leadership here, I take my hat off to you and I appreciate everything that you do, okay? But I'm not politically correct. I'm not that person, okay? So I'm going to say something. I hope I don't ruffle anybody's feathers, but I've noticed I don't get on here every Monday, okay? But I've noticed there's Mondays. This isn't one of them, as a matter of fact. It's surprising to me that there's been people that get into the calling queue, okay, and they'll say that they're in trouble, that they're wrapped up in the system, that they've got this to deal with, and they didn't do the work, and then they're coming to everybody to freaking bail them out, okay? I'm going to tell you something. I've taken the civics test. I wanted to take it again. You were going to reset it for me, but, I got busy and stuff of that nature. There is no way in hell that I would approach this group to try to bail my ass out of a jam that I probably got my stupid ass in to begin with, excuse my language, without doing the work. If you haven't taken a civics test and you ask for help from you, I mean, just from what you tell me and what I hear on these Monday night calls, and the other things that you're doing with the Bible study and the stuff of that nature, your time is gone. And for me to approach you without doing the work and ask you for help, I don't know. I just can't do it. So I just want to say.
Well, I do have some of her appreciation for what you're saying, and I'd like to just add a little bit to that. A couple of things. First of all, we don't talk no more on Monday nights about cases, and because we're not here to help people to solve their cases in that way. We're here to save the nation. But we do offer tremendous amounts of education on our websites, which will help them. They just got to educate themselves. You know?
Right, exactly.
And they can do what they have to do. But people who are in trouble, and some of these people, a lot of these people are not in trouble because they chose to be so. It's just that the system has caught them. For instance, people
that's
losing
right.
their children.
And I agree, that's a big one. Your compassion, you're a very compassionate person, and I can feel it in your voice, and I can feel it in a lot of the people here's voice, and I commend you on that. And, you know, I'm so glad that, you know, I'm able to join here and listen and be a part of this. And I'm going to devote an hour every Tuesday to do what I need to do so I can start writing papers because I'm a dumbass, so to speak.
We all got to learn. We got to start somewhere. So. We appreciate it. And again, when you talk about compassion is something that we all have to have. And if we don't have it, we have to work on it. We have to really start praying to God about it. You know, matter of fact, in our Bible study, we're going to be coming up to this point soon because I'm going to make this point very clear on how compassionate Christ was. Anybody who asked him anything, he did, no matter what. Any healing, he did it. And, you know, as you read through the scriptures, you start to discover some of these people were not, it appears as if they were not saved. They saw the miracles, they were excited about it, so on and so forth, or I'll go get cured, and that was it, period. You know, if Christ came just to cure us of our disease, then he failed. Of course, he came to cure us of our sin-sick souls. But the key thing is compassion is a virtue. It's from God. It's something that we all have to learn and really put our time and focus towards being compassionate. I don't know that you can learn compassion per se, but sometimes people, you know, they've trained themselves to not be compassionate. I remember someone told me one time, you know, in a business situation where they were Christian, and I told them, hey, this is wrong. You shouldn't be doing this. He says, yeah, I understand that, and I believe you're right what you're saying, but this is business. You see, that's not a good attitude. That's lost. They trained themselves to do something that was really evil. So sometimes we may have that compassion, but we've kind of just become numb to it, and through our own, usually because of our own selfishness, because we want to benefit over something. But we do have to become compassionate. You know, charity, love, that is the key. That is the main thing that God speaks about. The greatest of all these things is charity. If you have not charity, if you have not love, you have nothing. And so that is what we should be reflecting. All of National Liberty Alliance's leaders and all of us as a people, we should be reflecting compassion. And that's why we added very, very strongly, we have to have a sense of honor, a sense of justice, and a sense of mercy. That's compassion. No matter what the case is, we have to consider mercy. All right, thanks a lot, Brad. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, John, Gary, all you guys. I would just love to see you focus like a laser to do what you got to do to get our country and our court system back so that
we are starting to get sharper and sharper.
What we need to do.
We are starting to get sharper and sharper. We're starting to get, you know, things a little more organized. It takes time to really get everything organized and make things work right. And it's a trial and error thing. And then once you got it, you move to the next thing. So we are working really, really hard to kind of oil the machine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're not going at it half-cocked. It's a beautiful thing that we are at the stage that we are at because you're right. You know, we don't have the people that are ready to write the papers. When this does come down, you know, we have a certain amount of time. But from the civics course, latch is imposed, right? Doesn't that apply here? So,
but
I mean,
that's true.
We have to do our part. I mean, this is my country. This is your country. This is all of our country. I mean, anybody who's here tonight, I mean, if you have 10 minutes, I mean, 10 minutes is 10 minutes. Do it. Just take 10 minutes, you know, if that's what it is. I'm a businessman. I own two businesses. I'm here, you know, because that's how important it is that I think our country is and our freedoms and our court system, and they've stolen it from us. And if that doesn't make you angry, you know, I don't know what does. You know, the people are being taken advantage of. And enough's enough. I mean, let's do what we got to do. That's all I have to say, John. God bless.
Amen, Brad. Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, let's take our next caller from Nevada. Is it Tricia? T-R-I-C-I-A.
Yes, that's me.
How you doing?
I am blessed in a blessing as I'm obedient to spirit. That's how I live, and it's a great way to live. You folks are doing a great job, and I pray for you a lot, okay? Not just for you personally, John, but for the entire NLA team. You're doing a good work, and it is going to bring really good things to fruition very soon. I wanted to...
Yeah, I believe that too. Thank you. Go ahead.
I wanted to bring something up that I didn't know if you were aware of or not, and I think it is very important. I heard just late this afternoon about a group that's working out of Colorado that have brought up some charges, I would call them, a true bill for the American Bar Association, not only in our country but in England and throughout the world. And there are some very serious charges that have to be answered in 90 days, or they're going to take down the bar, which I think is amazing. Had you heard anything about that?
I don't think that could happen or will happen. What I have discovered in courts, you know, the judges take sides. Everything, the fix is in. Certain groups win all the time. If you go in without a lawyer, whoever's got the lawyer, they win. It is a wink and a nod type thing and a handshake in the back behind room, in the back room. And it's really, really serious. It's all about money. It's about settling accounts. There's CESQ accounts. There's all kinds of different funding things going on out there. And the judges are there really settling accounts. Now, to take down the bar, okay, you would have to get remember, the bar controls every judge in America. You don't become a judge anymore. And I don't know how long this has been, but I got to believe at least 20 or more years. You don't become a judge anymore unless the bar gives you the 5-star go-ahead. You're not going to become a judge. That used to not always be. We've gotten a lot of good judges in there, but they're very, very fussy, very, very careful on who they allow to become a judge. They want the right kind of criminals in these places, and that's what they get. The other thing is, of course, is lawyers are trained. They have no knowledge of common law. They're purposely not taught about the Constitution or anything of that nature, and they also are not taught how to write papers in school, so I've heard, how certain things work or the mechanisms go. I wouldn't say that not how to write papers, but the mechanisms, how the process, the court process is. So they have to actually, when they come out from being in school, they have to actually work for a law firm. They have to work for, someone who's a seasoned lawyer. So they get more and more poisoned, and sometimes I imagine maybe they have a contract with these guys. Well, okay, if you're going to come in, you're going to work for me, and you can't open up a law firm in this area or a certain radius. I know doctors do that, or whatever the case may be. But the thing is they are very, very well indoctrinated. And so when you go up against the bar, okay, for a judge to rule against the bar, or for to them to even get a jury, and all juries are fixed, every single one of them. They're all puppet juries. They go through a psychological thing when they ask them all these questions, and they make sure that these juries are going to produce the results that they want at the end of the case. They also can razzle and dazzle the people of the jury, and they do it. It's all jury tampering. And the judge, of course, you know, the whole thing is set up. There's a lot of statutes out there, and they're going to get them on a break in a statute, and they're going to tell the jury, remember, you guys get to judge the facts, but we get to judge the law. And when you if this happened or that happened, you got to find them guilty now. You see, they have no jury nullification. They have no freedom, no liberty. They don't understand that statutes are not law. They don't understand that people are responsible for their own actions. They have to answer to God for them. And that the only proper punishment against a person is someone who injures another person. If there
right.
is no injured party, there is no crime, and a person cannot
exactly.
be brought before a criminal court. And there's no difference between a criminal court and a civil court. They're all one and the same. They've broken even that up. This is combined. You know, when you bring a case up against someone, and if it could be a criminal case, you know, someone who's injured, it could be a criminal injury. But the bottom line of the court case has got to really to find restitution for the injured party. They don't care about that. They don't look at that. They don't consider it. And that's not common law. Common law requires for every injury there must be a remedy. You've got to fix the injured party. So our whole system is upside down, but I doubt that you'll ever get any court that can rule against the bar. It would be like ruling against themselves in the first place. Any lawyer who tried to push that issue, any judge who considered anything, would lose everything. They would take their law license away. They'd take their judgeship. They'd be destroyed. It's just that's how much power the Bar Association has. You know, the
John,
bar controls.
I'm aware of all that, and everything you have said, I agree with, and I personally have experienced a lot of the things you've just mentioned in courts.
Sure.
And I have learned how upside down, inside out, backwards things are. What I'm saying is this is a group of thousands of people, okay? And they have taken on not only the American bar, but they've taken on the English bar because they know the source is English. Bar stands for British Accredited Regency or Registry. They know that they take oaths to a foreign government, essentially. And that they know about the hidden 13th Amendment, where attorneys were not supposed to be in offices of trust in our government. So they're very well aware of all those things. And the way they're taking this on is a very, very different way. It's not in the usual court system, because we know you can't have the foxes governing the hen house, you know? And that's the situation as it exists today. So they've done this in a different manner, and it is going to make some waves. So what I'm saying is there's a lot of other people that are doing different things, and it's all coming together at one time, because it's time for the people to be free. And NLA, of course, is a very big part of that in getting the courts back to where they should be, because that system has been co-opted a long time ago, and so many people have no clue that that's the case. And obviously, the common law grand jury is supposed to be the way things are governed, because it's the people. We have abdicated our responsibilities, and that's why we're in the mess we're in. And
there's two things, and this is why I spoke earlier about what I spoke about. There are only two things that have to be done. There are only two ways to save America. Number one, the people really have to really get back to the principles. They got to get back to God, the King of the Court.
Absolutely.
Raise him up and bring him in. And the second thing is to get rid of their ignorance through education.
Yes.
Without doing those two things, we will never save the nation. We must really push hard on these things. And again, I want to mention it again. Anybody who's becoming an administrator, we have hundreds and hundreds. I forget how many hundreds. I think we have 700 or 800 people who have filed to become administrators, maybe even more at this point, but we've got quite a few. And all those people, but they're not in our a lot of them are in the civics course, but a lot of them have stopped. They're not taking it all the way through. And of course, a lot of them are not joining in to learn the processes and the procedures of the court. They're not coming to the Tuesday night course. So if they think they're going to become administrators without taking these courses, it's not going to happen. And what we're going to do is we're going to try to control whatever salaries are involved, where there would be a very low salary if they haven't taken any course. And they'd be on probation having to take these courses. And we have to set something like that up, because if we didn't, it's a wrongdoing for us. We would be doing a wrongdoing. We would be doing a misjustice to the people, because we've got to have educated people in these positions. And it pays a very handsome salary ultimately. You got to work for that. And you got to take these courses, and you got to get through the process. So we're going to do things to motivate the people at that point. But look, now is the time to get educated. We're not in the courts yet. We're working diligently to do that. And I truly believe we're very, very close. We've got some very interesting things coming up very soon, and you'll be seeing and as we go forward. We've discussed a little bit about it earlier today. Once we get in, I myself fear the success we may have, because right now we're not ready. And we better get ready. Let's get ready, people. Now is the time. Don't wait till the end of the game and say, oh, okay, now I'm going to go take the courses. But we're coming in. We need educated people. We need people. We need leaders in every state to be able to lead the states to make sure we're doing it right. And until a county really has gone, the people in the county that are administrating, four people in every county, until they've really got a basic education of this, they got to be under the wing of somebody. They got to be, people say, oh, don't be a dictator, or don't control. But look, it's a wrongdoing to permit people to go do things that they're not qualified to do and therefore do maybe as much damage as these people are doing to us right now without even realizing it. So,
yes.
Anyway,
well, we have to take personal responsibility for that. We have to, each person has to take personal responsibility for their education. And because that's what education is supposed to be about. And the resources on the site are incredible. They're outstanding. And making them available is an awesome ministry, believe me. And again, I just commend you. I also wanted to mention one more thing that I don't know if people are aware of that's come to my attention recently regarding the Keshe Foundation, K-E-S-H-E Foundation, and releasing what's called a MAGRAV technology, which is magnetics and gravity together, that essentially can free the world, reference energy monopolies, let's just put it that way. Okay.
This sounds like Tesla stuff, huh?
It's very much like Tesla stuff, and
yes,
some very interesting videos online. And for the purpose of peace throughout the world, which is what I'm most excited about, and getting people to cooperate and not be fighting with one another. And that's kind of the caveat to be able to participate in this type of technology, because it's so powerful. So I would just encourage people to look into that, because some very interesting things are being done right now, and it's essentially the technology is being put online so that anyone can access.
Well, there is free energy out there, and unfortunately,
yes,
when people really establish something and able to produce something and they try to get it out, then they die. And one of the things they make the big mistake on, because we're going to have to get people who really are more interested in getting things out to the people than to make money. We got to get someone really that really can get this stuff out there that they discover and not concern themselves with the making of the money, because that's the only way it's really going to end up getting out there. Because
and that's
you start
how
to
he's
incorporate
doing it.
And you try to control it, and you put in a pattern,
right,
a pattern, and then you're starting to move it. Then they're going to come. They're going to talk to you. You're going to say, "Hey, no," whatever. Your life's going to be in danger, and that's
I'm
the problem.
Aware of that too. That is the problem.
Yeah.
But this foundation is doing it differently. There's no patents. There's no licenses. It's being made freely available to all people throughout the world. And so I just encourage people to look into it, because it is an amazing, amazing technology, not just for energy, but it has health aspects to it. It's really, really amazing. So it's just an FYI type thing, because I think all people should be aware of it. So again, kudos to everyone on the team. We all have our parts to play and taking on personal responsibility for putting forth the right things. Thank you so much, and blessings.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, let's go to our next caller. From Maine, is that Josie from Maine?
Okay, hi, John. Jim, how are you?
How you doing? Good.
Hey, pretty good. I wanted to make some points about a couple of things that people said, even in the last caller. I've worked for years for NASA since 88, on and off, doing different projects for study of the sun, different technologies, working on UAVs for the military, and also designing the battery systems for a miniature sub for Naval SEALs. I'm up on the technology and on Tesla, but here's some things that I wanted to say right out. First of all, the debt we have, we don't owe. The reason being is because our government was supposed to be run by tariffs. All the tariffs that were taken in were supposed to be used to run our government. That's number one. So lending money to the government for interest is unconstitutional. So if it's unconstitutional,
I agree with you 100% because look at the United States of America Corporation. They're the one that's responsible to pay the debt, along with the Federal Reserve, which also is not part of our government. That's the debt was created by them, not from us.
Oh, yeah, it was all created after World War One when they bankrupted us by 1933.
So the world's going to have to chase their money down to the people who own those corporations, the United States of America, and also the people who own the corporation, which is the Federal Reserve, and you will be led right to the elite, and they've been stockpiling piles and piles and piles of money, and with the kind of money that the world is talking about, that these people are indebted to them about, believe me, they will be hunted down and found, and the people will find them. That's what the people will do. Governments at some point, if we're able to achieve our goal, and I do believe we can, it's up to the people if we're going to do it or not, but by them getting up and taking a stand, becoming educated, and bringing the king back into the court, that's how we're going to accomplish this goal.
Right. You're absolutely right. The Federal Reserve owns the debt, and they're trying to tell us that we own it, and it's unconstitutional, therefore we don't. Now, the second point I wanted to make is something that a lawyer had come in, and there was a man who was being chased by the IRS. $1.5 million is what they said he owed. He ended up going back and looking at what the definition of legal tender was, and legal tender is money that can be exchanged for gold and silver. Our money cannot. So he went to the sheriff, and the sheriff went to the comptroller of the state, and they said, well, look, we'll pay this debt as soon as there's real currency, or which happens to be legal tender. And so the definition of money that we have, well, what that did was it stopped the IRS from proceeding because they can't interfere with any of the ongoings within the state. So basically what ended up happening is another lawyer came forward and said, I've been looking for this. This is technically, that means that if somebody comes in and tries to foreclose on your house, the definition of legal tender can stop that process instantly. Now, the lawyer's name was Ronald McDonald, and I heard another radio show, and I was a participant in that. And basically, that is key. That is so key. If you can get a constitutional sheriff to go to the comptroller of the county or the state and say, look, this is the definition of legal tender. There's no other definition. That means that all foreclosures in the United States are immediately null and void. Okay? So that's key to everything, especially a lot of things that you're doing right now. Now, another process is, well, the last lady who was on, I've designed such a machine for free energy, driven by magnetics. And then through a couple of processes, I can turn it into a heater to heat water without use of electricity, and also create electricity. Now, as I said previous, I've done a lot of work for a lot of well-known agencies like NASA and Teledyne Brown Engineering and other corporations, including Lockheed and things like this, working on satellites and you name it, X-ray telescopes, yada, yada, yada. So these processes are real, and they're basically out there for the entire world to see. Are you
right.
still with
well,
me, John?
We need to people need to define them and then start creating it themselves, which is the key, I think. You know, I know there is a group we've been watching for a while. I forget their name. I haven't looked over in a while. I don't know if Gerard's been keeping up to date on them. I know he gets the emails, I think, from them. And they've been working. They're very, very close to developing something, and they're giving it away for free. They're giving all the plans and everything away for free, and that's the key. That's the only way this is going to succeed. People have got to share their research with others and get it out there and just dump it onto the Internet, and then everybody has it. Everybody's putting it. You don't even know where it started from anymore. And that's the only way we're going to get free energy, which will become really, literally free. Anybody trying to charge for it, I mean, look, at they should have a right to be able to charge for their work and get a patent for it and so on and so forth. But with today's environment and what's up with the elite not wanting it out there, they're going to die trying to do that.
Absolutely. So. And people have died, like you said. And the last thing she had said that was totally right is that a couple of people that I've talked to on this other radio show have already traced back and found it is even in the Library of Congress that the original 13th Amendment, where lawyers actually can be excommunicated from the United States for violating the 13th Amendment, which was ratified that lawyers cannot be a part of the U.S. government or serve in public office. Now, the one thing she did not mention, which is very important, is the fact that what happens is that in the Constitution itself, it says that no one group of any type, okay, can be in control of any or all of the branches of the United States, the executive, legislative, and judicial. And the Bar Association is, so they're committing treason on top of the fact that they can be kicked out of this country for serving in a public capacity.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in the Constitution itself, under Section 9, Article 1, Section 9, and I believe it's Paragraph 8, it says, no title of nobility shall be granted by the United States, and no person holding any office or profit or trust under them shall, without the consent of Congress, accept of any present emolument, office, or title of any kind whatsoever from any king, prince, or foreign state. Now, anybody who becomes a bar attorney, they become what's called the Esquire, and that's a title. All bar attorneys have a title, and they already are barred from holding office according to Article 1, Section 9, I believe it's Paragraph 8. Now, the 13th Amendment that read similar to that, exactly that. It read very similar, but I think it was a little more clear. It expounded a little more on it. But it's already in our Constitution. Any kind of a organization that controls the education of and the actions of and the judges, a foreign organization like the American Bar Association, believe me, the American Bar Association is controlled by a foreign organization. And any kind of a thing like that is illegal to begin with. I mean, it becomes a conspiracy. Actually, the Bar Association is guilty of conspiracy against the United States of America by creating subversion by controlling these lawyers and judges. They're all controlled through that process. And so that's a very serious problem, and at some point, that problem, when the common law gets into the courts, that problem will correct itself. Almost every problem out there corrects itself once the people get back into control and bring common law back into the courts and therefore justice. Just about everything kind of self-fix itself. We get to the resetting our nation back to 1789, literally, almost overnight, once common law is reset back in the court system. So.
Yeah.
Okay,
and one last thing. Kevin Annette, He's the one who brought the charges against the Queen of England for pedophilia. And they've started the common law grand jury over in Europe. And he's been pretty much dying to try to get in touch with the groups who are doing that in the United States. And I have his number, and I'll make sure I get it to you, because I think if you link up with them in Europe, we'll be a force to be reckoned with, even though...
Yeah, well, a couple of things. We are going international right now. We're working with different languages. We've got people who are working on some different ideas and interpreting some of our stuff into other language. Of course, they're not going to get everything, but some important things. We do have about seven or more nations that are, or countries, shall I say, that are very interested in joining us. We're going to try to facilitate for them at some point in the near future, we hope. I mean, I don't know if it's near, but I'd like to think it's near. And it all has to do with money in order to do that. We have had been contacted by leaders of different things, as a matter of fact, from not necessarily from Kevin himself, but other people who are involved with him. We've been contacted in a roundabout way, you know, we can't join up with a group because we are not really, even though we are nationallibertyalliance.org, which I guess National Liberty Alliance is an organization in a sense, because but what we're building and constructing is administrations for the grand jury. And the administrations for the grand jury are not an organization. They are not a group. They're not a corporation. They are not they're no entity at all other than the people themselves. And so we here at this level on National Liberty Alliance want to be extremely careful that we don't really partnership with anyone. We're a facilitator of education, organization, communications, in order to win back liberty and win back the common law process within our courts, and we hope other countries want to do the same thing. And that's why we're looking and willing to facilitate them. The English-speaking countries will be very simple to facilitate them. But the ones that speak different languages, they're going to be a little more difficult. But nevertheless, we hope for them to do the same thing we're doing. But the bottom line is that we can't join a group or connect with a group because our membership is not a group. It's the people. And we can't make that kind of decision for people to make them, okay, you know, we can join up with this group and we're going to, you know, consolidate, you know, and then they have different strategies and philosophies. Our principles are so pointed and so focused. We're not going to let anything, and any kind of a group or organization that wants to connect with us, they're not going to be willing to submit to the principles and the processes that we've got here at the leadership of National Liberty Alliance. I know they won't accept that. Often ego plays a big role in a lot of stuff, too. And so, you know, again, we're very careful not to do that. But, of course, we'll talk to anyone. We've looked at the international level, and there's a couple that they lack a few things in their processes, what I've seen. One of the things they did lack is God, and that's a huge, huge part of the process of what we're doing. And anybody who's been coming to National Liberty Alliance's meetings knows that God plays an important role. You know, we do focus in on what's going on in the courts and processes and procedures. We read the papers. We look at our founding fathers, a lot of court decisions, and we bring all these issues up to you know, in front of us and study these things. But we're also always constantly bringing God into the picture that through principles, His principles. We've got to bring His principles, sense of honor, sense of justice, sense of mercy, and so on. So, but of course, I will talk to anyone. So. You can, you know, email me that information if you want, and copy Gerard at nationallibertyalliance.org or Gary at nationallibertyalliance.org, because I don't get a lot of stuff, and what I miss, they'll pick up. Okay? Okay,
hey,
appreciate it, Jim. Yeah?
Yeah, I think it's important that we let people know that the Keshe information is being broadcast all week, two seminars a day. If you go to KeSheFoundation.org, that's K-E-S-H-E Foundation.org, you'll come up with his website. It has three different live streams that you can watch. He gives the time for the morning session and the time for the afternoon session. he has these units out now. He's given them to ambassadors from all the countries that wanted to participate. They're small units. They're about 30 centimeters in width and depth and about 90 centimeters high. You can carry them around under your arm. They, I think, have a lifespan of about 40 years. They're plasma devices. And they generate, I think, about 2 kilowatts from what the session this morning said.
Now, this is, give us the website again. Kesh, K-E-S-H?
K-E-S-H-E, Foundation.
K-E-S-H-E, Foundation.
.org, yeah.
Okay, we're going to check into that. And if it's something that might be good, we'll talk tomorrow anyway about other things, and maybe
okay.
We'll talk about this and take a look at the site.
Sure.
If it's something that we really can believe in, and, you know, I have a little knowledge of some of this stuff, and Gerard's got a little knowledge of some of this stuff, and I'm sure others do too. And we'll kind of put our minds together and see if it's real and see if we can produce something. And if we can, we definitely will put a connection on the website to there for people to potentially have free access to free energy, you know?
Right. Now let me poke a little hole in your balloon. It's rumored, and I've seen it on the web already, that Obama has banned the importation of these devices, just like he did before.
Okay.
But,
so that's a fact, or it's still just a rumor?
Well, it's rumor on the Internet at the moment. It's also said that Kesh is going to give you enough detail that you may be able to build these on your own. I hope.
Well,
that's
true. The key we ought to get. If that's true, that's what we'd look at. The only one that's going to be successful at this is the person who spills it out onto the Internet and splashes it. People start picking it up, and they start splashing it, and before you know, you can't stop it. That's the only way this is going to happen in today's environment. And it's a shame it's got to be that way, because these inventors should have the benefit of reaping, you know, something from their inventions. And it's a shame that... in this case, they can't, you know, because they'll die.
Right. Yep.
So. Okay. Thanks, Jen. All right,
sure.
Let's move to our next caller here, California Dave. Go right ahead. You got the mic.
Thank you, John. A lot of members are asking me where to focus their energy, and they're breaking down into two classifications, members who desire to be administrators and members who do not aspire to administrators. Would you go through, you know, like an 80-20 kind of thing, what you would recommend prospective administrators to focus on, 80%, 20%, and then also people who don't plan on being administrators, what should they be focusing on, 80%, 20%?
Yeah, okay, I think every person in America should take a civics course. I think we have the best civics course available anywhere. I personally believe that. Because we cover so much. We cover the Constitution. We cover the common law. We cover American history. We cover the process and how they got us to where we're at. You know, when you get through our civics course, you understand how they accomplished their goal to bring us to where we're at today and the big troubles that we have. So that, I think, every American should do. And we need to teach these things in school. The next thing, for those who want to become administrators, they need to connect on Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here in this room from 9 to 10, 1 hour school every week. And those are recorded, so they'll be put up. I'm not sure exactly where they're at. I'll be honest, I haven't paid attention the last 2 weeks. But I'm going to go this week and kind of listen into the last couple of weeks, and I'm going to listen into tomorrow night's, and make sure that it is going according to plan. I have no reason to believe that it's not, but, you know, it's good to check in, make sure. And everybody should be in that course, and it's really a self-education course. Everything I've learned, pretty much almost everything I've learned, was self-education. You know, I've learned my skills as a carpenter by self-education, actually getting out there and doing things and reading books and figuring out how to cut stringers and rafters and different things. I became a general contractor in a construction management, and I've done some really, really big construction projects, sewage treatment plants. We did the developments, large developments. all kinds of things. And I do designing on the web, engineering drawings, and all of that is from self-education. And I always encourage people, self-education, in my opinion, is the best education a person can get. And, of course, the School of Hard Knocks, you take your self-education, you go out there and you try to use it and work with it, and that's when you really start to learn, is when you get out into the real world with what you've taken out of a book. And then you have to, tweak it quite a bit because reality is a little different than what you read in books. But nevertheless, same thing here with the law, same thing here with common law, what we're doing in the courts and everything. It's all self-education. And so we're laying out all the necessary raw material in this course. We're feeding the raw material, which is really our paperwork. And people are going through it, and they're working through it, and it's a self-educating course. And they'll get do some research on their own and bring in this thing and that thing, this idea, make sure they look at different interpretations. If there's an inconsistency and a contradiction between many, then you know you got a problem, and you need to dig deeper until you can find unity, because then you know you got it. And that's the best way to learn, and that's the kind of a course we're setting up. And we're working on right now. Now, we will be laying out certain criteria and certain things more structured a little later on. But right now, the learning part is really going through our paperwork and really understanding the meanings and of the phrases and the whole sentences and the conclusions that are coming up in our papers. So that's where people, administrators, need to get into that course. But everybody should do the civics course. And, of course, we've got a lot of great books up there. We've got a lot of audio books up online, and people should be spending their time there, listening to those things, especially when you're doing something that you can kind of listen to music to, or you listen to some of these tapes. There's so much up there, really a lot of stuff. But the Federalist Papers we have up there, the Anti-Federalist Papers, you can sit down and listen, they're on tape, Lysander Spooner's, we got him up there. We've got a lot of stuff. All right, anything else, Dave, on that issue?
Okay, would you say, would it be a fair statement to recommend people spend 80% of their time in education and 20% of their time following up with the sheriff? Would that be a good guideline?
Oh, I think, yeah. I think education is the most important part. So, yeah, you really need to educate yourself in order to talk to the sheriff anyway. So that's reasonable. Friendliness, and you can go meet up with your sheriff and become friends with him and talk about issues that you do know. But getting that knowledge and educating yourself is really where it's going to happen. And I'll tell you what. We're sending out right now memo number four to the sheriff. We sent three memos out, and then we sent another paper out that was six pages, and we sent a copy of that to the sheriffs also. And then after that, today I think we started sending out memo number four. And we got, I think, 10 memos written already, and they're one-pagers. Those are the things that you really want to educate yourself on in order to go talk to the sheriff, because you want to bring to him power and authority. That's what the sheriff needs to get. We need to give our sheriffs power and authority. And they don't really have the power and the authority because that comes with knowledge. They don't have the knowledge. And if you don't have the knowledge, you don't have the belief in yourself to be able to do your job. But give them the knowledge and give them the power. I remember working and trying to get some work, doing some framing and stuff, and I had to really make sure I knew the lingo, so to speak, what a cripple was, what a king was, and headers and rafters and all the different parts. And this was early on in my learning to be a carpenter. And you see, once you start to master the parts of construction, and if you do the mathematics and you understand the mathematics for certain parts of these things like stringers and rafters, then the next thing you know, and stress points, you know, the next thing you know, you're out there and you're framing and building, and you have the expertise to build an entire home and frame it out and have it well constructed. You know, you have to know what stacking is and a whole bunch of other things. But everything is the same thing. You need to learn the parts, the nuts and the bolts. What are the parts? You're kind of intimate with the parts. And when you do that, then you can start putting the parts together and execute them. And this is no different, you know. Let's give our sheriffs the nuts and the bolts. Let's give them the power and the authority. And that is the Constitution. And that's what we're really focusing in on these papers. And again, we're doing one small subject, one page, and that's it. And one, you know, every maybe twice a week, they're going to get one page from us, which is a memo giving them empowerment, empowering them. So that's what people should be bringing to their sheriffs. Okay, Dave.
Okay, so if a guy comes to me and says I have 5 hours a week to give to NLA, I'm going to tell him spend 4 hours educating yourself and 1 hour reaching out to the sheriff every week.
That's a great plan. That's a great plan.
Okay. Thank you. I'm out.
Thanks, Dave. Okay. Tanner from Oklahoma. How you doing, Tanner?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
A couple of things. I think that was Titles of Nobilities Act. That's what they were talking about on the 13th Amendment, according to our civics course. And then I want one of those machines the guy made. That'd be nice. Get a hold of me.
Yeah,
I'll
you
take
too.
One of those free energy.
Yeah, I'm going to be working on that too. I got a big old diesel generator which burns pretty efficiently, but nevertheless, I'd like to get it for nothing.
The trouble is, five years later, Obama knocks on your door.
Yeah.
Well,
so, by the way, let's leave. I'm going to pass it over after Tanner. But go ahead, Tanner.
Real quick, I thought I've already had a discussion with Gary a little bit about this, but I thought it would be helpful to bring it up on the Monday night call. I've been contacted about becoming a governor for the original jurisdiction of Oklahoma, for example, and some other places like this. And these other guys, they really mean well, I believe. Some of them do, and they want to do some things like other people have talked about, different things than necessarily what the NLA is doing. So I wanted to do a little bit of research before I answered this gentleman about what it would mean if I was to try to do this and the NLA and things. Would I be a target? How is it viewed? Is it viewed as subversion of the United States of America, right or wrong? I mean, what kind of attention I would draw? So it was team law, and he knew there were some differences, and he was more of a let's figure out the similarities, not the differences, not everybody's right, that sort of thing. So I just wanted to throw that out there so that you could give your thoughts of this type of thing to everyone, since we have a lot of other people reaching out to NLA membership with our, I would say, clout maybe, and, you know, do's, don'ts, what to be careful with, and how could we work. One other aspect I'll throw in is, he wanted me to maybe come on their calls and not necessarily say, hey, I'm, you know, an NLA champion, but just mention questions and comments about things that I had learned through our courses and sticking to constitutionality and staying out of codes and statutes, that sort of thing, and try to just kind of insert the viewpoint because he saw the value in some of the things we were discussing. So what are your thoughts on, you know, these different tactics of becoming governors in different positions and appointing things, and also inserting our knowledge into other groups in a humble way, maybe, let's say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think those things, in my personal opinion, is extremely dangerous. It could easily be interpreted as subversion against the United States of America, and the common person would easily be convinced that it is, okay? So I've been approached with these groups from day one, numerous groups we've been approached by, and we've stayed clear of them, far away from them, because we understood the dangers. We took the road of legality. common lore is so intertwined in the dictionaries, okay? Everything we're doing is coming right from the dictionaries. It's coming from our founding fathers. It's coming from the United States Supreme Court. Those are our authorities. And ultimately, it's the people through the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Magna Carta. You know, this is our authorities. And we are so careful in everything we're doing in every way. It would be huge for them to try to come out against us in any legal way, because to try to come out to us in any legal way, they'd have to pick on something, and then they'd have to focus in on that. And I can see an easy argument to convince people in a court very easily of the truth of the matter. And so they have a problem. They don't want to really be the people responsible to get this thing going out even further, okay, by taking us to court. So they want to silence us. They want to keep us quiet. And that is why we went to all 94 federal courts, because you can't cleanse all 94 courts. They got a big problem with that. Plus, we sent to every single elected state and federal official. But going back to the other thing, I have not found any of these groups really with a core belief in God, which I believe is a major part of this whole role. Without God, we're not going to win. It's just the way it is. Not God is on our side. We have to be on God's side. God is the head of our court. We called upon him over 200 years ago, and the Declaration of Independence set him right in the center of this whole thing. And then we betrayed him by ignoring him and not paying attention and keeping virtue in our courtrooms. Now we have the opportunity, I think, to bring it back in. It's going to be up to him whether it's going to happen or not. You know, nothing's going to happen outside of God's will anyway. And I think if we're going to be honest with ourselves and do the right thing and pray for mercy and be merciful and stand on the principles, believe in the king of the court to bring him into the court, I think we have a very good chance of being successful. But a lot of these other things, they have a leadership. One of the great problems, we connected with a group early on. We connected with a lot of groups. I wouldn't say connected, we communicated. But I remember one group out of one state, they had organized the entire state. They had a grand jury there. But one of the major errors they made is they had a grand jury sitting there for 2 years. Grand juries are not to sit that long. Look, a grand jury should come together and disband no more than a month, I would think. And out of that month, maybe they'd come together 2 days a week or a day a week or whatever, then you get a new grand jury coming in. You can't be, it's a wrongdoing to be an ongoing grand jury. Now, if you have a very special case that is long-term for some reason, like ours, because we're talking about subversion against the United States of America, we have come together as the grand jury, but our whole sole goal is not to deal with all these cases, but to deal with the subversion, with getting people that are political prisoners out of jail, focused in on that. And until we can get the people into the court, then the unified United States common law grand jury, as we know it, must cease to be. And we have to go back and push and work in the county level. It's got to be the county grand juries, which are really the grassroots, the grand juries right in your neighborhood that have to really do the proper ruling and protecting liberty in the courthouses right there at the grassroots level. But we always have to be united to make sure that this never happens again, united through education. And that's why National Liberty Alliance will play that role, Lord willing, to continue that education, to be a place where people that are coming in to become administrators to get educated, or anybody wants to just get educated for any purpose, because we all should be anyway. So we've got the education going here. We've got the principals. We've got the king of the court. And we're very careful not to connect and become a club of some kind. We don't want to become a club. And we also, you know, look, we are leading the process, and we're expecting people to fall in line and follow the process that we're doing in order to take back the nation. But at the same time, we're training people so that they can do this all on their own. And they need to be doing it in their own counties. And they have to be free, not restrained by any outside group, including National Liberty Alliance. And so but we have to remove the ego. And that's something organizations have a big problem with. They have a leadership, they have ego, and that goes on forever. We're trying our best not to have those two things. Although you need the leadership, we all have to be leaders to get us to that point at the end of the, we'll call it the war, the battles we have to fight. But once we get to the end of that, then we don't need the generals no more. We don't need the sergeants and everybody. What we need is the people. And the people need to stand up if they got the principles and they're truly the king's bench with the principles and they're doing their job right as they're being taught because, you know, again, process and procedure is process and procedure. And they're doing the job right the way they're taught, we can accomplish the goal and do it. I think they're a very dangerous situation because they can easily be seen as subversion. Hey, here's another thing, and we write this in our papers. We're writing this in our paper in a paper coming up very soon. Let me see if I have it really quick. Here it is. This is the Declaration of Independence. Okay. Now we've written this in our papers already, in a couple places probably, and it's going to show up in another paper. When a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evidences a design to reduce them from under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such servants and to provide new guards for the future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of the people of these states. Declaration of Independence. Now, we changed two words. Words colonies, we changed the states. And we changed the throw off such governments to servants. Okay? So the Declaration of Independence has already established a process to get rid of these tyrants. And that's exactly what we're doing here. That's the plan of National Liberty Alliance, is using the plan of the Declaration, what our Founding Fathers had given us, and the processes that the Founding Fathers have given us in order to throw off these tyrants. And so that's what we're going through. Now, all we have to do is start getting rid of these tyrants in office. But in order to do that, we're controlling them, suppressing them. And in order to do that, we have to have control of the courts. So the people have to go, and to take control of the courts in such a way as to do that, you bring in common law, God's law. Everything is fixed. Game over. It's that simple. It's that
right.
The whole picture or the philosophy, the strategy is really extremely simple. It fixes itself.
Go ahead.
I want to do a quick dovetail to that. You know, we were doing the committee man system. I was always impressed when Jim Condit did his little thing and he started explaining the precinct, the committee man in the precinct and how what a precinct it was and how it rose out of the people. And he had a line, he said, and besides, this is the way you would organize your county if anything bad happened, like if there was a, if the government fell apart, which like might could even happen here in the next couple of months, you would go back to the precinct, the committee man system through the precinct, because what happens is each precinct picks their leader, and then they go forward. You see, if you're going to put in people like governors and different people who are going to represent the people, you can't just pick them at random. The people have to pick their own leaders. So that precinct system, that committee man system, was the people picking their leaders from the neighborhood, and they turned it on its head. They pick them from the top now. So you see, that's where it's valid. When the people gather together and come together in one voice, and they say, okay, this guy is our leader, and they do it through like a committee man system where they're voting on him, and then they send him forward to take over that office, to run for that office. So, you know, they're not doing it in the same way that it was originally set up, because if we were, we'd be picking people out of our communities, we'd be voting for them, and if anything happens to the federal government, look at the highest that's just the way it's going to be. And that's really all we need to run this country is the county government. We don't need, you know, don't get me wrong, we need a Navy to keep out outside usurpers and stuff. But other than that, if the federal government was just doing that, we'd have a lot less problems. So, you know, that whole business of the people picking their leaders, we can't just sit down and say, well, I'm the governor of the DJ state. Well, how did you get to be governor? Because you were with this clique. You understand what I'm saying? There's no representation.
Yeah, they were saying put yourself on the ballot, and as long as you're the only one running for the original jurisdiction, vote yourself in, which
well,
I get,
yeah,
but,
has,
you know. But,
yep, I understand that, but then you got to get people to accept that, too.
Right, yeah, what do they see when they look at you? So basically...
How do you put yourself on the ballot? I mean, if you go into your precincts and you get enough people to sign for you, that's a better way than just, I mean, I don't know how else you do it, you know?
Right. So NLA
bottom line, though, is taking back the judicial process takes back everything. It takes back the administration,
right.
100%, takes back the legislation, brings them right under the thumb of the people, back under the chains of the Constitution, and back under the control. And, again, we have the ability of resetting the clocks almost overnight, this quick, resetting the clocks back to 1789. And that's the plan of National Liberty Alliance. That is the vision, and that is the focus, and that is what the plan will bring by if we can accomplish our goal. But we can only accomplish our goal by the mercy of God. Repentance is where it starts. But go ahead.
So NLA would be safe, say, maybe a leadership in education, but the purpose is for autonomy in the counties.
Correct.
And in the spirit of, two technical questions real quick that came up.
Hold on one second as you're talking. Gerard, what are you calling in on? You calling in through Skype? Gerard, unmute yourself.
Yes.
You're talking to the wall. Okay, there you go. You talking through Skype? Hello? You there, Gerard? Gerard. Let me make my suggestion. You were coming in really bad. Why don't you reboot your Skype and call back in? And as soon as you're back in, let me know, and I'll pass the mic over to you. Okay, just reboot and come back in. Go ahead, Tanner.
Two quick things. One, is there a conflict of interest if two family members, say maybe husband and wife or something like that, are administrators in the same county? That's one quick
question. Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. As long as you have coming in, taking the vow, coming in with honor, justice, and mercy, reminding each other of it, I don't see a problem. You know, it can never become political. That's the case.
Right. It's all based off
principle. And it could never come out of principle either. You see, and remember, we're the administrators administrating. We're not the grand jury. So we are
just doing
the administrators for the juries. So.
Right.
Yeah, Gerard,
okay.
Reboot your Skype, okay, because you're still here. I want to pass this over to you.
Then the other one was, can there be more than one common law grand jury seated at a time, say if the sheriff needs to collect one or there is a particular issue dealing with?
Absolutely. If the grand juries are too busy. I don't. You know what? Once we catch, in the beginning it may be very busy, but once we catch up, you know, I don't think it's going to be any more than one grand jury a month, and maybe that grand jury will only work a day or two here or there. Now, if there is that much work, you might have to have two grand juries running, you know, one doing 2 days a week and the other one doing 2 days a week in order to catch up to the, you know, with all of the problems, because there's going to be a lot of catching up in the beginning. There's so many people in jail that need to be released. There's so many, people who have been injured that are going to be looking for a remedy. It's going to be really, really busy. But the first period of time, and I don't know how long that could be. I think it would be longer than 30 days, but it could be 30 days. It could be 90 days. I don't know. We got to focus in on cleaning up government and focusing in on and dealing with habeas corpuses, getting people
right
out of jail that don't belong.
So for people that believe that there's no way that the jury system could keep up with things, if we were to believe that that would be the case, even for their sake of argument, we could say that you could have as many juries as you need of the people making the decisions of the people until it's
absolutely
all caught up.
Yeah, absolutely. And you might get to the point where you're able to pull a grand jury once a week, you know, where the grand jury may work full 5 days. And while that jury is working for 5 days, You're already getting together another jury to take place on, you know, take a position where you can orientate them on a Friday and they can take control on a Monday and work that week and do the same thing over and over and over again till you can catch up. At some point in the beginning, there's going to be that much. But look at when it levels out, it'll be far less than what they're doing. We won't have that much need because, first of all, we're not going to be bringing people into the courts because they broke their stupid statutes or something. You know, that has nothing to do with us. I'm in control of my own behavior. If I want to put a needle in my arm and kill myself, that's my business. It's not the government's business. It may be my neighbor's business. Oh, of course. It may be my neighbor's business because God made it his business. He made his brother his keeper. I'm a brother's keeper. If I have a neighbor and I know that person and I know they're doing these things, I'll go over and talk with them and try to convince them not to be doing these stupid things. But, you know, look at marijuana. Marijuana is a great, great item for people to have. It's narcotic or whatever you want to call it. I don't know what you want to call it, but it's great. It's great for a lot of things. It's a lot of cures. But also even recreation, it's okay for a little recreation, and definitely helps with pain and issues with different medical conditions. There's no doubt about any of that. You can make hemp rope, which I understand is extremely strong. I saw on the internet somebody who made a car or something out of hemp, and it was, you know, very light on the one hand and very strong on the other. So there's a lot of things. Out there that people need to decide for themselves. You know,
right.
A bottle of wine. I'm going to drink a bottle of wine. Go out of my house. Leave me alone, government. Who are you?
Right. I'm sober individual myself, but how dare they believe they could say yes or no? It's none of their business.
Right.
In the spirit of the Creator and God and what you were saying before, if I was to take principles and talk with these other people, I'm not necessarily having to do anything that would be dangerous according to what I've learned, but in the spirit of education, I could definitely speak with other people about what we have learned and what we're doing and not necessarily trying to say I'm right and you're wrong, but I could throw some truth into any subject matter based off of what I'm learning in the civics course and these other calls or these other groups, even if they are doing things that I would not do myself.
Well, that's correct. Look, I've had communications with at least six different leaders of different liberty groups doing different things. And they all tried to sort of bring me together with them. Let's get together. Let's do this. And I've always resisted that because it's not for me to bring people to them. I'm bringing people really to education, to God, and to do the things that they need to do for themselves at the grassroots level. We're not a club. And but these people, you know, I always told them, look, you know, you're doing some things. I don't think it may be wise, some of the things you're doing. I don't think it's going to be successful, but who am I to know? I don't know. I'll support what you're doing. I hope you're successful. If we're not successful, maybe you'll be successful. That's a good thing. And they agreed with me for quite some time. But after a while, when they started to realize that they're not going to connect with me, because I saw the ego in all these people, I'm not going to mention names, but I saw ego already. I knew already there was a conflict of interest between ourselves, and there would never be a harmony between us. But nevertheless, you know, I was happy with them being who they are, just support us. We'll support you to some degree. I mean, I would support them personally to some degree. But after a while, they weren't happy with that, and they became my enemies. In the sense that they're out there talking bad, National Liberty Alliance, that I'm a dictator and all these things. And it's not me that's the dictator, it's them. I have no intentions of controlling this thing at once the people get into power. I'm here only as an advisor. Right now, it's important. Until the student can become the teacher, they got to remain the student, and the teacher must have authority over the student. Okay? But at some day, you know, the student must become the teacher and stand on the shoulders of the teacher and become greater than the teacher. And that's the same true with them, with the people that they teach. We all have to stand on each other's shoulders. Look, we learned from a lot of great people. Bill Thornton was one of our greatest teachers that we've had. We've had a lot of them. Lysander Spooner was a teacher to us, you know, a lot of people. Michael Bodnarik, Robert Schultz, a lot of people. And we're standing on their shoulders. You know, we're taking what they have taught us, and we're taking it to the next level, and we should always be taking it to the next level, and the next generation should be taking it to the next level. We should be adding on to ourselves constantly. But we need to be tolerant of each other, and a lot of people that are running a lot of these different organizations, they're not tolerable at all, and unfortunately, I have to say, most of them are running on ego.
Right. I have to tolerate the ones that don't tolerate me. And, you know, I just look at principles. I agree with you. I mean, anybody that I've run into, I do is anything helpful that I can do. However, if the principles aren't adding up in their actions, that's where I will differ every time. Even if it was the NLA that did wrong, they say, well, John is this, or I've heard that, or they did this wrong. I say, well, I'm going to do the right thing. And if the NLA does the wrong thing, I'm going to continue to do the right thing. So I'm not really concerned with each individual. Also, you know, good men don't rejoice when other good men fail. So if any of that starts happening, or anyone's biting the ankles of another, then I don't see their lack of principle. So therefore, I know I'm free to just dust my shoes off and go on to the next. But anyways, that's all I had. I appreciate it.
Okay, appreciate it. Thanks, Tanner. Gerard, are you back yet? Looking for Gerard. I don't think he's back yet. All right, let me take our next caller from Indiana. 815. Is it Christopher? Indiana. Looks like Christopher. Hello. All right, one more time for Indiana, 518. Let me make sure that you've been unmuted. Can you hear me, Christopher? I think it's Christopher, 518. I mean, I'm sorry, 815, 519 number. You've been unmuted. All right, going to the next caller. Okay, next caller, 434, unknown, 434. You've been unmuted. Try it now. Maybe I muted you. Let me try the other way.
I had a question.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Concerning the California situation of the city where they're forgiving all of these alien criminals, the mayor, his name is David Campos, these asylum cities. With him taking in a murder, wouldn't that be considered complicity in a murder? I mean, isn't he complicit with that when he's aiding and abetting a criminal?
Well, I don't know what he's doing. Of course, if you're aiding and abetting a criminal, you become partners with their crime. But I don't know what he's doing. What's he doing?
Well, I mean, he created an asylum city, these asylum cities for these illegal aliens that committed a crime, and he fled, you know, the guy that killed the young woman for no reason, fled there to get asylum in the city of San Francisco. And David Campos is he's an attorney, but also on the board of supervisors for the city.
Yeah, I don't know enough or anything about it. I don't feel comfortable to comment. I don't know what's going on, so I have no comment on that.
Yeah, I was trying to dig in a little bit more into that. I intend to give a little bit more. I didn't know if you knew anything about it or not. Also, I think NLA posted a video from the Florida. There's a Florida group down there. It's called the StarAndShieldGroup.com. You familiar with the video where they're attacking sovereign citizens and then they go into a whole bunch of stuff of training law enforcement officials on this YouTube video? You recall that?
Yeah, I don't know anything about that, but I do know that they do. There's a lot of training going on with law enforcement concerning quote-unquote sovereigns. We just did a paper on sovereign. As a matter of fact, I think that's the paper that's going out right now to the sheriff concerning what a sovereign really is. because they don't understand. They think it's a bad word. It's a dirty word. Hey, it's what our founding fathers were. It's what free people, anybody with true liberty, that's what they are, sovereign. And you're not sovereign if you're not if you don't have liberty. You're not sovereign. So they don't want to not be sovereign. They want to be sovereign themselves. Unfortunately, that one action from that one group, they were able to incorporate on a father and son team that killed a cop, and they called themselves sovereign citizens, and they ran with that, and they've been just destroying its meaning because of what these two clowns did, and destroying the meaning of good words that we need to have.
Exactly. That was one of the issues that I had. I know that there's some confusion, you know, about sovereign and citizens because, you know, it's an oxymoron. But the statements that are made on this video, and I've watched the video several times, and I'm just really disturbed by these officials that are saying that, you know, what they're doing is law, and these people are crazy. They're saying it's not law, but it is. They're saying it's not law. But what they're recording, I'm like, well, we got court cases and founders, and we got code that says it is. And I was just wondering if you would take a look. I would like for you to, if you could find the time to have your leadership take a look at that video. I think it's like 10 minutes. And look at it. I think we should give an answer to that video and post it on YouTube.
I just got disconnected, so I'm just back. I didn't get anything for the past maybe 60 seconds or so. So hang on one second, though. Hey, Gary, are you still here, Gary? Gary. I guess not. All right, go ahead. Go right back. What were you saying now?
Okay, you can't hear me, I hope.
I can hear you now, yes.
Yeah, this group, the Star and Shield Group.com, they posted the video. Name of the video, Sovereign Citizen Training for Law Enforcement, HD. And you can get that on the YouTube. And somebody had posted it, and I had gotten it from the NLA. But I watched the video several times, and you know, everything these law professionals, the attorney general of that county, and so forth, the things they're saying are just absolute constitutional lies. I mean, to me, I think they're committing treasonous acts. Certainly, false and incorrect. I just think we should. I think we should post that video and run it with captions, you know, making our own comments to the statements and showing people where the law is and where it's written and who said so, so that we can show that what they're saying is an out-and-out
law. Well, how many hits does the video have?
Well, there's like 10 or 15 minutes of it.
Yeah, but how many hits? You know, how many people have watched it, viewed, how many views?
I have to give that to you. I haven't even taken a look at that.
Yeah,
but
sometimes things aren't even, you know,
worthwhile.
You know, sometimes they're not even worth responding to. You know, we read, for instance, sometimes we get a bad review from someone on some website, and we go out and we look at the Google Analytics on the website, and we discover, yeah, it's got all but three people a week looking at the site. I mean, why even bother wasting our time? And they may not even see that particular comment anyway. So, it depends on whether it's worth our time. But we do want to spend our time educating people. And if you have something that's going out there that's getting to a lot of people, maybe we should. But sometimes also things level off. If you got something that's got maybe, let's say, even 100,000 hits or even 1 million hits, and it levels off, it stops. Now, you know, not many people are coming out to view it anymore, and it's too late now to do anything, maybe. So, you know, we got to try to figure it out. But I'll tell you what, our big focus is to educate the sheriffs, the marshals, and the FBI. These are the people that need to be educated and understand the law. They need to understand what a sovereign is. They need to understand what common law is. They need to understand that the Constitution is common law, and what the Supreme Court says about sovereigns. That, you know, we don't answer to nobody. We the people are the lawmakers. We're the lawmakers. the country, you look at the Constitution didn't give legislators the power to make laws to control us. We only gave them powers to make laws under certain conditions, and they're listed. They got 18 powers. It's listed in Article 1. I believe it's Section 8 or Section 9, Article 1. They got 18 powers, and that's all they have. And they have certain authorities in certain places. They certainly don't have the authority to write any kind of a statute that controls our behavior or anything of that nature. So, you know, freedom is, liberty is, you know, what the people have to pick up and take. They have to take control of. So we have to bring it back, the control of these people, and we do that by taking back the courts.
Absolutely. I got one more question, one last one. That information law paper that's been put out and it's listed on the sheriff's page, that information law, 6 pages, that is a pretty awesome little paper, and it gives, of course, constant reference back to the NLASheriffs.com website.
Right.
I was wanting to know if it would be all right if I passed that out personally to various sheriffs, judges, and clerks. Personally.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Everything on our website is, you know, look at freely we've been given, freely we're given. You can print anything on our website and you can take our papers and pass them out, educate. You can even our page on to the sheriff with the power and authority to the sheriff. You can print that out and give them to the sheriffs or anybody. But these are the conversations people need to be having with the sheriffs, with these. You go to powerofthecountysheriff.org, I think we have it. Let me double-check to make sure that that's what it is. Power of the County Sheriff, right, power. Yeah, Power of the County Sheriff, we got .com, .net, and .org. We've got all three. So if you go to that, you go to a page on our website, which gives the power of the sheriff. And it's very, very important that we discuss these matters with our sheriff.
Absolutely. It's also listed on the directory as well on the NA website.
Right. The sheriff needs to know. Sheriff, do you know that it always has been the sheriff that calls the grand jury? Yeah, the courts the legislators may have written up a process and a procedure where the court can call it, the prosecutor can call it. That's fine. But that doesn't mean you can't call it because you have 1,000 years of history where the sheriff calls it. So look at if you're concerned with some criminal judge or prosecutor and you can't do anything because you got to get their permission to get a grand jury and to get them indicted without their support, you're not going to get it. That's not true. It's a lie. You can do it yourself. You can get on the phone. You can call 25 people. You can bring them together down in the courthouse and go down there and get your indictment and write up the papers and bring it to the court and file it, and they got to do something with it. That's the power of the people. And that's the power of the sheriff. He needs to know that, and we will help him to do that. We will help him to do that. If he comes to us, we will help him.
That's awesome power, and that's awesome to know that. I'm glad you let me know that was okay. All right, I concede to whoever else has a question.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you. Drew,
can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yeah.
Boy, that was
John.
Weird.
John.
Right,
Jan's trying to come through.
Go ahead, Jan.
Go ahead. Jan wants to. Jan's calling you, John.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jan.
Before you leave that, the Sovereign Citizen Training for Law Enforcement video that was put out by the Florida Sheriffs was put out 10 days ago. It's got 19,000 hits so far.
Okay, and it was put out by the Florida Sheriffs?
That's what it says, for their training.
Yeah, let's look into this and do something alongside this somehow. I agree. Maybe someone has some good ideas. They can get in touch with some of the leadership here at National Liberty Alliance, and then we can get together and brainstorm an idea. Maybe someone who's good at doing videos and stuff or something. I don't know.
Ooh, we should pick that video apart. That would be fun. How do you become a sovereign?
Absolutely.
Are you a slave or are you a sovereign? What are they talking about, these guys? That would be fun.
Yep. Hey, if you can, Jen, drop the link into my Skype if you can, okay? I'd like to go out and look at that video. Maybe everyone should go out there and drop a message, powerofthecountysheriff.com. That's all you need to do, powerofthecountysheriff.com. You know, it's the, T-H-E, power, of the sheriff. Let's see. What is it?
Okay.
The power of the county. Let me make sure it's the right. Okay. Powerofthecountysheriff.com or .net, and I think we even have .org. But before you drop that link out there on that YouTube, put it into your browser. Make sure it does. You have the right one written up, and then take it. Powerofthecountysheriff.com. Go out to that video, and everybody should be putting comments. You should see powerofthecountysheriff.com, and that will neutralize what they're saying. Okay.
Okay.
Gerard, you got it. I'm going to go get myself some water and take a little bit of a break. I'll be listening in, but I'm going to go get some water.
Yeah, okay. we only have a few minutes left.
I dropped that in your Skype box.
Wow,
too.
We are at the end. My goodness.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Let me take off here. Hang on a minute. I haven't been around a lot this past week either. I've had numerous people drop me stuff that I haven't been able to deal with because I've been doing some of my own damage control over here. And, you know, winter's coming and running a business and fighting my own battles. And this week, everything came to a head. So I have a lot of stuff to answer for people that wanted me to get to John. Well, I haven't talked to John, but maybe one time this week. So maybe we can get caught up this week and I'll answer some of that stuff that ended up in my my inbox. So I just wanted to make that little excuse there of why you haven't been able to get a hold of me, and we'll see how next week goes. Okay, next question is Jan, God is low. How you doing, Jan?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Pretty interesting day. I had someone send me an email about an interesting case. A couple went to court presenting NLA documents that were instructed by the NLA or documents or by the grand jury. And it was given to the court, but a court observer sent out a message that on the docket, nothing was mentioned as any documents being given to the judge or put on record. So therefore, the habeas corpus grand jury default judgment that was presented to the judge that she was to abate from law, basically on their books, doesn't exist. I don't know if John heard that. Hello?
Hello?
I'm here.
Yeah, can you hear me?
I hear you now.
Boy. Look, every judge is not going to have that thing on their docket. I mean, we sent it to the federal district courts and to the elected officials, and we put it out on the site. But that didn't necessarily get that filed into every county court. You know, I mean, we've put stuff on our county. You know, we file those papers in our county, and many times the clerks don't put them in. That's part of the problem, that they don't file them. And we haven't had a chance to go out and chase every clerk down. That, you know, we chased the one clerk that she gave us a docket number and then pulled it back out, and then the sheriff said, well, I would arrest her, but the DA has to prosecute it. And then the DA told us, well, I don't see a statute against that. He was playing politics. So we pursued a couple of them, but we didn't get lost because we had other things we wanted to do. We didn't want to be chasing a local clerk and pull our papers out, you know, when we had other stuff that was going on. But those clerks and that all have to answer for that. Are you there, Jan?
That person ordered the transcripts from that. Yeah, but if the docket is not on the docket, then it's going to show up as the papers were never received by the judge.
Well,
so how do you
return? You hand them and you say, these should have been on the docket. You make them put them on. You're saying they served the judge that paper in the docket and they didn't put it on?
Okay. The couple went forward with the intention just to serve the documents from the grand jury to the judge only.
Right. Right.
With the opposing attorney wanting to hammer that couple.
Right.
And the judge took them. The opposing attorney just went through with his motions. But when all was said and done, a court observer sent notification to some of the other court observers that, heck, those documents were never placed on record by the person who does the recording.
We're going to do that from this end now. We're going to take care of that under penalty of law.
Right, because, look, that's our next plan on that.
We've already established that.
The judge played games because when you put something in the court, you have to say, this is a record. You have to do it. You have to say, this is for the record. I'd like this entered into the court record. You don't just hand them something. You have to get him to acknowledge that you're putting this document in on the court record. And otherwise, he's going to turn it upside down and bury it. And that's probably what he did because he didn't produce it right. You know what I mean? I mean, he got it, but he didn't listen to it. So
the court observer noted that the defendant delivering the documents said that the court must abate at law that the grand jury has ordered through the federal court for this court to abate at law. So the judge got the paperwork and heard the testimony or the statement from the defendant. And yet, that was not put on record.
Yeah, so now the grand jury has to go in and cite the judge.
So you have at least...
Listen, we're going to put that on record. We're going to put that on record, and then there is a follow-up on that, and we're going to go for contempt of court, and then after that, we're going to start moving for indictments on the federal level.
It's amazing, because there was at least two and three people that were there, one of them that was a court observer, and it's like, wow, you mean that judge just made a bold move like that to just, wow, it's just unreal.
Well, they don't get it. I don't think they get it. I mean, they're going to get it when they get the next correspondence from the grand jury.
And I've seen, you know, I've seen the writ of mandamus to file in demand, but yet the person took it to the court and they said, well, we can't accept this. You need to electronically file this. I said, no, you need to accept this. No, you can't take it. It's like, wow. So these guys are violating a federal laws left and right.
They're violating your due process is what they're doing. When they tell you that you have to, when you show up in court and you hand them a piece of paper, and they say, I'm sorry, you can't. You have to electronically file this. That's a game. Because the paper...
Well, what it does is it also takes away any actual valid documents being recorded, because all documents, you have to produce originals, or you have to anything for it to be any kind of a record for the case, you know, affidavits and so on. If you don't produce the original, you have to verify that it's an original. And that's the key to the whole thing. Electronically, you know, you can't even work a signature electronically that's valid. A copy of a signature isn't even valid, ultimately. So,
okay.
Anyway, we have a plan for all this, and we've been creating the next step. As a matter of fact, today we're working on two steps ahead of this. And, you know, there's more process and procedure to go through to get to the end of this thing.
Mm-hmm. Can I talk to you about 3 minutes on my particular case after the call? New things that showed up recently?
Not tonight. You can try to call me tomorrow. Not tonight. I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to download this program, and I'm running to my bedroom. So
very good. Very good.
Okay.
Morning, afternoon, or evening?
Afternoon is best. Late afternoon.
Very good.
Because I'm running around during the day, early part of the day.
Should I try to get you through Linda?
No, just try to get me late afternoon.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Right.
Bye now.
Okay, Drew, I'll
get it. Okay. Yeah. Next caller is unknown.
Oh, hi.
2190.
Hi, Cynthia. How are you doing? I'm from Massachusetts.
Good, Cynthia. Yeah.
I'm an NLA member for a couple of years, and I contribute and everything. I just lost a foreclosure case here in Massachusetts.
Uh-huh.
And, oh, it's horrible. It's definitely the two issues we keep talking about, jurisdiction issue and due process issue. I'm convinced that how I was treated, that in that particular summary process court, that I'm just some kind of commercial slave. I'm horrified.
Did you get a vacate the premises yet paper?
No. So actually, I'd like to talk to somebody in LA tomorrow for some strategies.
Well, if you haven't gotten that yet, fill out the forms and let's go. We'll do your case and do a habeas corpus on it. But
okay.
Bear in mind a couple of things here. You know, we have a case right now with somebody
mm-hmm.
who they've already gotten a vacate. Mm-hmm. But they've done nothing with the sheriff. We already spoke to the sheriff. The sheriff said he's not going to do anything illegal. We told him about the necessity of you have to have a court order. You have to have the signature from a judge. You have to have also a sworn affidavit. And without that, you cannot remove that person's property. And now what happens is they don't call the sheriff anyway. They just send letters and frighten you. Then they'll send a man down there. He was probably a lawyer. You know, or someone paid by a group of lawyers to say you got to leave now, and you just tell them to go to heck and shut the door and go about your business because they have no power, no authority to do anything. You call the sheriff up is what you do.
Well,
you have no power, no authority. But
well,
we should do some paperwork for you.
Look, if somebody shows up at the door, you call the sheriff and you tell him that you got a guy here trying to illegally enforce a bogus order. Can you come arrest him?
Yeah, I don't have to. I'm not at that. I'm really close to it. But basically, let me just say, like this whole summer, I was so immersed in learning, you know, Massachusetts law. I got with this group who are fighting the same causes that I'm fighting. And so I was just inundated with learning law and filing and things like that. I'm aware from our previous discussions that summary process is not, you know, we don't fit in that kind of jurisdiction. But what the blessing out of this case, I think in the long run, is that everything is prepared. I mean, we follow the law. Okay, we did everything. We cited Massachusetts law. I mean, there's no reason for the judge to rule in favor of the plaintiff. It actually is theft, okay, what's going on. And so so at this point, I'm like in a walk in a hard place, so I filed an appeal, but I really don't even want to go that route. You see what I'm saying? Because now this commercial judge is going to have me up there and they're potentially a appeal bond or pay rent, and I should pay nothing.
Look, just file a habeas corpus. Get with NLA, fill the intake paper out, and let them default on the habeas corpus and go after them in federal court. Get the heck out of that court that you're in. You're not going to. There's no justice there for you.
Well,
look,
John,
they're used to steamrolling people, and they figure they're going to steamroll you too.
Oh, cases are missing. They closed discovery.
We don't want to discuss a case on this call on Monday night.
Okay.
But you need to get a hold of somebody in NLA and tell give them the particulars of the case.
Okay.
And then,
just
let them fill out the.
Yeah, send your papers. Go out. Look, you're on the right-hand side. You see a little frowny face. We're holding up the help sign. Click on that. Follow the instructions. Send your information to intake@nationallibertyalliance.org. As fast as you can get it and get everything in, then we can start dealing with it. We have a lot of backlog cases.
Oh, I know.
But a lot of the backlog cases, we don't have the information. I think we have information on maybe a half a dozen cases, and we're starting to move them through.
Right.
But there are a lot of cases we're missing a little here, a little there. So whoever gets their case in with everything, they go right to the front of the line and we start moving their case right in, because as soon as we get a case ready to go, we're going to move them.
Well, you know, it boils down to standing. The bottom line is...
And I have to make it quick. We've got like 10 seconds.
I'm not a human being in there. You see what I'm saying? I'm still
You're not. And the other thing is look, if you had a sheriff that you could talk to, they wouldn't be able to do anything. That's half the battle. That woman
to
that's
them,
down
you're
there.
You're just chattel. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. You're just a piece of meat.
Right.
And, you know, they're going to poke you with a fork.
Right. That's what I'm so horrified. But anyway, is there somebody who can talk to me between now?
Yeah. Go the frowny face and put the stuff
get
in.
Get your paperwork in, and then someone will give you a call. Okay. When they got everything ready to go, you'll get a call, and you can talk to them. But you don't want to get too deep in the case other than what they need from you. That's the key to that, okay? Because we only need certain things. But with that, we've come to the end of our program.
Okay. So, all right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
God bless.
Right.
Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. We've come to the end of our program. Lord willing, we'll see you again next Monday. Now, please don't forget, Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time till 10 p.m. right here on this same channel, right here in this room. We have a course going on. You have to join the group, so make sure you get out there. National Liberty Alliance, highlight committees. Click on the Common Law Advisory Committee and join the group. Also, on Sundays at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Sunday, meet the King of the Court. That's what we're studying right now. Just click on to join our Sunday morning Bible study on the right-hand side of the our page. Okay, thanks everyone for coming, and Lord willing, we'll see you next week.